जयं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोव गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरी श्री शील प्रभुपाद नमामि शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवारी पाश्चात्य देश धारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम विनम्हां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे हृदि मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो मम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तभगं सत्यं परं धीमहि प्रोज्झितकैलवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यनेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिगा भुविभावुगाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि अनुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां धमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणि श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पदरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरियदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലൈഷമനിശം പ്രതിപാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയന്മേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി അധ്യായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, like we saw yesterday, Krishna is talking about the process in the Ashtanga Yoga, how a person who is practicing Ashtanga Yoga, through the power of that Ashtanga Yoga, how the jiva, the soul, leaves his body. The soul leaves his body. In the verse 10, that's what Krishna is saying. Prayana kale manasa chalena. 10th verse. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. That is yoga balam. Yoga balam means the strength of your yoga process. Whatever strength you have acquired by practicing that yoga system, that is yoga balam, the power of that yoga. Bhaktiyayuto yoga balena chaiva. And then what will happen, we mentioned there, bror madhye pranamavesa samyak. Bror means this between the two eyelids, how the pranan comes there. Avesha samyak sadam param purusham upaiti divyam. We have seen yesterday that the different chakram in our body as per the Patanjali's yoga system, which is referred to as Mooladharam, Swadhishthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, and then Ajna. Ajna Chakram is here. And then the finally the last one called Sahasraram. So till when the pranan comes to this point here with the Ajna Chakram, it has already broken up, it connections with all the material elements, both in a gross level and a subtle level. That means earth, water, air, ether, fire, which constitutes our material body, that connection is broken. Plus all the five tanmatras, they are called. Tanmatra means the subtle elements of this material element, which is sound, touch, smell, shabdam, sparsham, form, and shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. That means sound, touch, form, and taste and smell. The five subtle elements, tanmatra they call it. That connection is also broken. And then finally, by the time it gets to Ajna Chakram, the connection with the mind is also broken. So practically, all the identification with the body is over. Therefore, when it gets there to the Ajna Chakram, from then on, the yogi doesn't have anything to do. It is carried out by the Antaryami from inside. From there, the further journey to Sahasraram, and from there, the escape from there is in the hands of the Antaryami. Antaryami or the soul inside, he will carry out all those activities. So we have seen there, Prayanakale Manasa Chalena. Prayanakala means at the time of death. You have packed everything and you are on your way. You are ready to go from this world. You have kept everything together. All your vasanas, which you have collected together in this life is ready to go with you to the next life. That is that Prayanakalam Krishna is talking about. And at that time, manasa chalena, achalena. Achalena means mind does not, if the mind does not flicker anymore, if it's not bringing any other thoughts, which can only happen if bhaktya yukto yoga belena chaiva, if you have executed the yoga process properly. And with that, what will happen? The mind will not, naturally, will not create any new thoughts inside. If the yoga process is not executed, all our thoughts will go after all the other things in this world. Family, friends, society, all other thoughts will come up at the time of death. You will start thinking, oh, I have not finished this, I have not finished that work. All other ideas will come to your mind at that time. Worried about the children, grandchildren and their future, you will be going away from here with all those thoughts inside. Which means that you have to come back again here. That's what Krishna is indicating there. Bhroor madhya pranam avesha samyak sadam varam varusham upaiti divyam. This is what we were discussing yesterday. We have seen many things in relationship with that. We also mentioned there at the end that samyak buddhiman yogim that kavim pura avasan, he says here ityadi lakshanantam purusham upaiti. Isn't it? Sadambaram Purusham Upaidi Divyam. Purusham Upaidi Divyam, he says there. Krishna is saying there. So what is that Purusham? That is where we mentioned at that time that in the Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, at that time, King Nimi and the Navayogis, Pipalayana Maharshi spoke about that. Who is that Purusham? Param Upaidi Divyam. He mentioned there that Stiti Ulbhavam in the Bhagavadam, you will see in the Agadisha Skandam, 11th canto, in the third chapter, verse 35. Stiti Ulbhavam Pralayam, that means, where does this all happen? I mentioned yesterday that the main difference between the science and Vedantam is, science is searching in the world outside, Vedantam is searching inside. This is the biggest difference. If you go out and look for the truth, Vedantam says that you won't find the truth outside. They are very definite about that. Whereas science has taken the path of going outwardly looking for the truth. Now, when you look at these verses from Pipalayana Maharshi is saying there that the nature of that absolute truth, what he is discussing there, Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam, that means creation is happening in me, in the soul. Because the presence of the soul, I am experiencing the creation. If I am not there, creation is not there. This is the Vedantam argument. Not that I am always separated from the creation. It's only, that is what they call it as Drigdrishi Vivegam. Drigdrishi Vivegam means the seer and the seen. The seer and the seen. So, there we talked yesterday that the Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam, that means the birth of the world, the maintenance of this world, and the dissolution of the world, disappearance of this world, all that happens inside us. Inside us. For the science, world is important. For Vedam, the self is important. World is not important for the Vedam. For Vedam, the self is important. World is not important. For science, world is important. Self is not important. Big difference there. There itself, it has given, gone in two different directions. And as much as you can see from the Bhagavadam that there will be no definition to the self in relationship with the world. You cannot define the self in relationship with the world. It's always, he is there, other things are coming to him. Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam. That means the appearance, the maintenance and the dissolution of the world is happening within me. I am the background behind everything. That means every one of us, the self, the soul inside, that is the background of everything where the whole creation is happening, maintenance is happening, dissolution is happening. Then, ye sopna jagara susuptishu sad bahischa. Dream state, deep sleep and the waking state, all that is happening in me, but nothing to do with the soul. Krishna mentions that also, that these three things based on the mood of goodness, passion and ignorance. Three states, isn't it? Three states, they causes this waking state, dream state and the deep sleep. So when they are also happening in the intelligence and the mind, that's where that happens. Because of that, it has nothing to do with the self again. And dehendriyani, dehendriyasya hridayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra. So everything in relationship with the body, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying here that all the changes that's happening in the body, for example, body is continuously changing. Science is saying that we are also saying the body is changing. But this change of body does not have anything to do. It only happens in the presence of the soul. In the presence of the soul. Otherwise it cannot happen. So you can see everything is happening because of the presence of the soul. This is the important point. If you ignore this one important thing and work with all other things, it makes no sense. Is it not? The changes in the world is happening inside me. The changes in the body is happening because of me present there. It's me who is more important, not the world, not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. None of them are important. Me who is important. It's in my presence all these changes are happening. That is the most important principle there. So we are seen there that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Sankhya Yoga in the second chapter. That Sankhya also takes you up to this level. That means Drika Drishyam, seer and the seen. And soul is there and the matter is there. In that way, two things existing at the same time. So finally we come to this understanding, saying that I am none of these things, isn't it? That is the first principle. I am not the mind, I am not the intelligence, I am not the false ego, I am not the subtle body, and so on. And sop manobuddhi ahangara chittani naham. You will see there. Manobuddhi ahangara chittani naham. Na shrotra jihve, na ja ghana netre, na ja vyoma bhumir, na tejo, na vayu, chidananda rubam, shivoham, shivoham. Nirvana shalkam. The first verse. Mind, buddhi, intelligence and subtle body, I am not that. Nor I am any of the five senses. Hearing, tasting and smelling and seeing. Nor I am any of the five material elements. Na vyomam, bhumi, tejasa, vayu. Earth, water, air, ether or fire. Then what is my identity? Chidananda rupam. I am that existence absolute. Always awareness. That's my identity. Existence absolute. So, Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. So, we have seen here, we have decided, we have separated everything from the truth. Truth is that awareness inside. I am. That awareness. Everything else we have separated from that. And I am always the witness of everything. The witness of all that changes, what is happening, I am the witness of all that. That's all it is. I am the witness of all that. So, in that state, it is Sankhyam. It is Sankhyam. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this particular verse, the next verse, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying there, 36. Naidan mano vishari vaguda chakshuratma pranendriyani jayatha anlamarchishaswal shabdobi bhotaka nishedhadayatma moolam അർത്ഥോക്തമാഹ യദൃതേ എന്ന നിഷേധസിദ്ധി. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ്. ദ ആർ സെയിങ് ദയർ ദാറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ യു ഹാവ് ഡിനൈഡ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ്, ആഫ്റ്റർ യു ഹാവ് റിജക്റ്റഡ് ഓൾ ദി അതർ body, mind, intelligence, ego, the world, everything if you have rejected, and then you have said you are that Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham, that Chidanandam, that existence, bliss, absolute, I am that. But then finally it comes to that these things have also come from the soul. Which one? The earth, the creation, the force behind all these things is the soul. Again, it is from the soul everything has come. The material elements have come, and the world has come, the body has come, intelligence, mind, they are all the sparks that comes from the main fire, which is the soul, which is the soul. From there everything has come out. In other words, they are not separate from the soul. In one sense, they are not separate from the soul. They have come from the soul, but they are not separate from the soul. And when you look back, you will see that because they have all come from the soul, it has also, in another way, it has become our swarupam, isn't it? Like when we identify with the body, we do not know that we are actually, this body is also has come from the soul. If you look into the process of the how the body develops in us, body comes from the mind, mind comes from the soul. Is it not? In the Vedam mentions that way. So, after seeing all these things, that if you still, when you say that, yes, we understand, after deep realization you understood that, you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intelligence, you are not the ego, you are none of this, what remains is me. You come to that point. But then when somebody tells you that all these things has come from that, there you have a problem. How do you connect that? Everything has come from that. That is a difficult realization. So that is why he mentions, Pipalaya Maharshi says here, Shabdhobi Bhodaka Nishedhade Alpamulam Arthoktamaha Yadrade Na Nisheda Siddhi. Nisheda Siddhi. Nisheda Siddhi is this. That you have denied and rejected everything, and then you have come to this understanding, and then again you have to come back to that understanding that they are also come from the soul. In other words, only soul exists, nothing else exists in this creation. Only soul exists. And when we come to that state, it is the most challenging question to the science. Science is saying only matter exists. No idea about the existence of the soul. From the Vedantam point of view, only soul exists, matter even doesn't exist. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Matter has also come from the soul. Matter, soul is two things were not existing at one time. Everything was only soul that existed. And Shabdo, that is what? Shabdhobi bhotaka nishethadai alpamulam. Alpa is the root. Alpa is the root. Soul is the root. From there, other things have come. Other things have come. And that has come in different forms of material body, different species, 8.4 million different species of life, and different living entities, and then different material elements, what you see in the creation, and then individual gross bodies, subtle bodies, and then the intelligence, ego, everything. That's all come from the same soul at some different stages. If somebody asks there that after we have gone back and understood that I am none of these things, and but I am not able to realize the presence of the Atma in all these things, that's a very difficult thing. To come to the understanding that Aham Brahmasmi may happen one day. But to realize that it is that same Brahman which is present in everything in the creation, that is a next higher step. And that is where they say that at that stage the way to realize it is through bhakti. Through bhakti. And therefore, so once you know that the self is Krishna, inside who is present inside everyone, knowing that if you execute bhakti, then or surrender to that soul, but that where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarobhavena Bharata. When we surrender there, what is that bhakti? The nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Almanivedanam. The nine processes of devotional service or Krishna consciousness, in other words. So out of that, Almanivedanam is called Angi. Almanivedanam is called Angi. That is the ninth one. All the other eight one is Angam, or components, but the final one is called Angi. So, so in here, if you look at the nine processes, you will see that the Almanivedanam, the last one, that happens in the Hrit. Remember this word Hrit we talked yesterday, what that Hrit means. Hrit is where the presence of the soul is recognized inside the body. For all, again, this is something that is to be taken only in the sadhana stage. When full realization happens, this location also goes away. When we are identifying with the body, this location is to be taken. But when the full realization comes, the presence, the soul is everything that is manifested, then this has no validity anymore after that. But for practical purposes, while we are in the bodily identity, the presence of Hrit or Hridayam is here on the right hand side, not on the left hand side, on the right hand side. And that is that Hrit where all spiritual activities happens while we are in the sadhana stage. In the sadhana stage, all spiritual activities are happening here. For example, if you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse itself, isn't it? Janmadhyase Roinvayadidharadas Charte Shabhitya Swarad Tene Brahma Hridaya. That Hrid is here. So when Brahma when Krishna revealed the knowledge to Brahma, it was revealed here, to Brahma's heart. It's not the mechanical heart, the other one, or the opposite side. Tene Brahma Hridaya, that Hrid is here. It is that same place which Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look, you will see there is a verse which says, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. Famous verse, isn't it? Everybody knows that word. Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Matasparadrityanam Apohayam Cha Vedescha Sarve Rahameva Vedyo Vedandagrad Vedavideva Chaham. Where does it say? It is in the fifteen fifteen. If you look at that verse, Krishna is saying there, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishtaha Matasmridir Jnanam Apohanam Cha Vedeshcha Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo Vedandakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. See that word, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi. Hridi. That is a Hrid. Hridi. Hridi means the place where Krishna is present inside us. Sarvasya Cha Aham. And from there comes that Aham Aham. The awareness is coming from that source. The source is here, Hridi. And Krishna is saying, I am present there. Sannivishtaha. Sannivishtaha means I am present there. And what all happens there? Comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Three things from here comes. Remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Because Krishna is there. Therefore. And then Vedeshya Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo Vedandakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed I am the compiler of the Vedantam and I am the knower of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Veda and I am the compiler of the Vedantam, and by all the Vedas I am to be known. In other words, realizing him here in that hrit is the message from Krishna. Realize him here. And once you realize him here, then you will know, Krishna is saying here, that what will happen is, then again there is this next thing, step after that, to know that all the other creation has come from that source. Source is the same. Such an important place that is, this location here. So at that time, execution of bhakti. So, we mentioned this 9 processes of Krishna consciousness. So, out of that, the last one, Atmanivedanam, that happens here. Atmanivedanam happens here. It's not physical. Atmanivedanam is not physical. You shouldn't think, oh, I have surrendered everything now, including my body. That's not good enough. When will Atmanivedanam, you have to understand properly what that word means. Atmanivedanam means completely false ego leaving. Total departure of the false ego from inside. At that point what happens? Atmanivedanam happens. Like devotee thinks like this. Devotee wants to experience Krishna. Isn't it? Devotee wants to experience Krishna. So, he is like a river flowing to the ocean. And he keep on going towards the ocean. But when he gets into the ocean, he has a desire that he wants to experience the ocean, what it is. But what actually happens there is the ocean takes control of the river. There is no more river after that. Is it not? River finishes there at that point. Up to that point, a river is rushing towards the ocean. But once it gets to the ocean, then the river has no independent existence. What happens? The ocean takes control of everything. So initially, devotee wants to have the experience of Krishna. But when he gets there, he realizes that Krishna is in control of everything. And that time, Vayam Devasya Bhojanam, that he gets eaten away. Krishna takes control of the devotee. Krishna takes control of the devotee means, not the body again. What happens is, he takes control of the self, the individual ego. Individual's ego, Krishna takes control of that. Gopis mentions that, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Gopis are saying that if anybody goes close to Krishna, it's very dangerous. Gopis are saying like that. And they give the example of Mahabali, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, if you study the Brahmaragidam, when gopis were talking to Uddhava about Krishna's danger of becoming Krishna conscious, he mentions there, gopis are saying, if you get close to him, you won't exist anymore after that. You will be swallowed by him. Gopis says like that to him. And they give the example of Mahabali. Krishna wanted 3 feet of land. Vamanamurti wanted 3 feet of land. Mahabali was willing to give that 3 feet, is it not? But what happened at the end? In the process, the whole thing is gone. Including himself, Mahabali, Krishna has swallowed him altogether. So, suppose people are making offering to the deity, isn't it? Every day they are cooking with different preparations and offering to the deity, thinking that Krishna will eat all that. But one day if Krishna says, I want to eat you as well, including with all the offerings, then he won't make any more offering after that. He won't go anywhere close to the deity, would it? So it's a similar situation like this, that our ego is so fearful about that always, that what will happen to me? I don't want to get too closer to Krishna, because in that process I myself may not exist after that. So that's why saying, Belimavi Belimatva, if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see there, in the 47th chapter, in the 10th canto, he mentions there, gopis are saying this. it is in the 47th chapter, verse number 17. Gopis are giving some examples of what happened to the devotees. Mrigayuriva kapindram vivyadhe vibhrade lubdha dharma striyam agrada virubam strijida kamayanam balimavi balimatva veshtayam dvangshavadyam tadalam asida sakher dustyaja talkathartaha. మృగయురివ కపీంద్రం వివేధే లుబ్ధ ధర్మ స్త్రీయ మగ్రత విరూపాం స్త్రీజిత కామయానం. దోస్ హూ హావ్ గాన్ టు కృష్ణ బిఫోర్ దే హావ్ ఆల్ ఎండెడ్ అప్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే. హీ సేస్ దేర్ దాట్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఇన్ కేస్ ఆఫ్ బాలి, బాలి అండ్ సుగ్రీవ, ఇసన్ ఇట్ వాట్ హ్యాపెన్ టు బాలి? బాలి గాట్ కిల్డ్ అండ్ similarly Bali hasn't done anything wrong to Ramachandra. It's a big question always, why Ramachandra killed Bali. So it says Bali had not done anything wrong, but Bali was killed by Ramachandra. And gopis are saying these activities of Krishna is Ramachandra, does not justify things properly. Vivrade lubdha dharma స్త్రీయం అగ్రత విరూపాం స్త్రీజిత కామయానాం. శూర్పణఘ కేమ్ టు రామచంద్ర విత్ ఏ ఇంటెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ గెటింగ్ మ్యారీడ్ టు రామచంద్ర. ఇన్స్టెడ్ రామచంద్ర టోల్ లక్ష్మణ టు డీల్ విత్ శూర్పణఘ అండ్ లక్ష్మణ డిడ్ంట్ షో ఎనీ మెర్సీ టు శూర్పణఘ అండ్ షీ వాజ్ సెండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్. కట్ హర్ నోస్, బ్రెస్ట్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, షీ లెఫ్ట్. She came as a demon, isn't it? Rakshasi woman. Rakshasa she was. So, Shurpanaya experienced that fate. And next line says, Belimabhi belimatva veshtayang dvangshavadhyam tadalam asida sakher dustyaja tal kadhartha. Everyone who had come into contact with Krishna, their fate is like this at the end. And then they are talking about Mahabali. Mahabali's case also, they are saying. So they are saying here, we don't want anything to do with him. Gopis are saying, because one level you call Mahabali. Mahabali is the name, isn't it? So Mahabali had this situation that Mahamanamurthy came and took away everything from him. Why? In the disguise that measuring 3 feet of land, Vamanamurthy took away everything from Mahabali and made him completely penniless. In another way, Bali also uses the word, Bali means sacrifice. Sacrifice is also called Bali. So, in that process, Mahabali was swallowed by Krishna. What is that swallowing? Swallowing is this. Mahabali is known in the Bhagavadam for his representation as Atma Nivedanam, isn't it? The 9th process of devotional service, Atma Nivedanam. What is that Atma Nivedanam? Atma Nivedanam means in the process of surrendering, finally Krishna took away everything from Mahabali and finally Krishna says to Mahabali, where do I put my 3rd feet? There was no space for the 3rd feet. So Mahabali says to Krishna that if you agree with me, you won't extend your leg anymore further. Here you can put your feet and show this head towards Vamanamurthy. So at that point, it is an indication of the Atma Nivedanam. In other words, Krishna has accepted, Mahabali has totally surrendered. Not only the body, everything, the false ego from Mahabali completely gone from inside. Completely the false ego has gone away from Mahabali. That is that 3rd step, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. So Atma Nivedanam. This Atma Nivedanam is a thing that has to happen from Krishna's side. We may not be able to do that. Krishna has to force us to do that. Other eight things, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, all those eight things, we may be able to do it. But the ninth one, it's not in our hands. It has to happen by Krishna's arrangement. When Krishna accepts us, He will put us into that situations. So, when through bhakti, when will that happen? When we become mature through bhakti, when we are properly, surrender to Krishna, or become mature in our bhakti process, at that time, what they call it as steya yogam, steyam. Steya yogam means that there is something to be stolen from inside. Krishna wants to steal that from us. What is that He wants to steal? He wants to steal our false ego from inside. Jiva ahanda, it is called. Jiva ahanda. That ego inside us. That is what Krishna wants to take it away from us. So, if you keep the things outside, any expensive thing outside, then you don't have to invite a thief to steal that, isn't it? So, naturally it will be stolen outside. Similarly, when Krishna decides to take control of us properly, the symptom of that is, first thing, when he comes to that mature state of bhakti, what he does is, he pulls that ahanda or ego inside and completely takes it away from the person. The same thing what is spoken in the Bhagavadam, in the way it is spoken in the Bhagavadam is in the bhakti level. In the Jnana Margam, it is the same thing spoken in another way. If you look into Kathopanishad, the same thing is coming here. Nayamalpa pravajanena labhyo na medhayana bahuna shrutena yamai vaisha vrunude tena labhyaha tasesha malpa vrunude tanam swam. The principle is the same, both in the Jnana Margam and in the Bhakti Margam. The principle is the same. In Bhakti Margam, through the example of Mahabali, Bhagavadam is teaching us that by complete surrender, Krishna took control of Mahabali's ego. And Mahabali had no more independent existence. Krishna has swallowed him. Swallowed him means not the body in that sense, his ego. He has completely taken over from the bhakti point of view. In the Jnana Margam, you can see in the same words, the same thing is spoken. Nayam alpa pravajane na labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. That alpa or self-realization will not happen simply by hearing a lot of lectures, pravachanam. It may not happen. Na medhaya, nor by your intelligence. Na bahuna shrutena. Maybe if you have heard from many people in many ways, still it may not happen. When will it happen? Yamai vaisham vrunude tena labhyaha. That when one surrenders to the alma, to the principle that the soul inside is me, and I am not this body, I am not this intelligence, ego, nothing. I have nothing. I am surrendering to that principle inside, that presence of the soul inside, which is the process of knowledge. So, through alpavijaram or self-inquiry, when one comes to understand that he takes soul as the everything in life, self-realization is everything, and no more activities in this world for the sake of the body or mind, then at that time what will happen? That means nama yamai veshe vrunude ten alabhyaha tasesham alma vrunude tanim swam. So yam eva vrunute. Vrunute means one who has taken total shelter of the soul. No more shelter of the body. Total, he is so convinced that nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the intelligence, ego or the world. He completely convinced himself and realized it. All what exists is that soul inside. That is why I say, Yamai vaisham vrunude tena labhyaha. Then he will get it. He will very easily get it. It says, Swam Tanum. Why? How? Because he himself from inside will reveal to him at that point. Like the way in Bhakti, Krishna has taken control of the devotee through Atmani Vedanam. In the Jnanamargam also, Krishna is that soul inside, is it not? When it's spoken in the Jnanamargam, it is spoken in the terms of Atma. In the Bhakti Margam, it is spoken in the terms of Krishna. Krishna takes over the false ego and Mahabali completely hands over everything to him. Not all the wealth only, including his ego. In the Jnanam process, all other things he gives up. And due to the powerful inquiry of the self, eventually he realizes only the self exists, only the soul exists, and he surrenders there everything. When he realizes. Remember this, in the earlier we said this also, the difference between Jnanam and Bhakti is, in the Bhakti process, you surrender everything and then you come to know that only he exists. In the Jnanamargam, you come to know only he exists and then you surrender everything. So that is only slight difference there, but the process ultimately leads you to the same thing. So here, it mentions like this, that whoever amai vaishe vrunude tena labhya, whoever surrenders to the soul, soul reveals himself, or soul reveals itself to him. Soul reveals itself to him. So when the jiva, after going through all the knocks in this life, and after becoming more and more influenced by the understanding that he has nothing to do with the body, with the mind, and distancing himself from all the material elements, eventually he comes to the understanding that same way, the jiva ahanda inside, that false ego inside, the chit shakti inside will swallow that. When we say that Krishna swallows, means who swallows? The chit shakti inside swallows. All these things are happening inside, not outside. That you have to remember. Nothing is happening outside. You should not think, oh, Krishna will come and stand outside and tell you, give me your false ego. Let me pack it and take it with me. That's not how it is. These are things happening inside all the time. Everything is inside. So, when full surrender happens at that point, that ahanda, still jiva ahanda has not gone. And when that particular perfection comes in surrender, at that point, that means through the process, other processes, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnosmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, all the other 8 things, if you have executed properly, one day, when you have become mature in the process of bhakti, at that time, the ahanda or false ego inside is swallowed by the chit shakti from inside. Antaryami takes it over. That's where everything happens. While making it a story form, it is spoken in the Bhagavatam through this example of Mahabali surrendering and all that, so that it makes easier to understand. But you have to take this always, that whichever form of the deity you have taken shelter, Krishna has different forms, isn't it? Krishna's different, any form, whatever you are worshipping, doesn't matter. Whether it's a Vishnu form, Narayana form, Krishna form, or Krishna's various forms, or in the form of even Shiva, because Shiva is also Krishna's another form. Doesn't matter, you may be worshipping any form outside, but finally, when the surrender happens, when the false ego is swallowed, it is swallowed by the chit shakti inside, Antaryami, whose external manifestation is all these things, what you see. Krishna, Vishnu, Narayana, Shiva, all other Devi, whatever it may be, you may be seeing outside. They are all the external forms. But inside that power, which does that, is the chit shakti, which is Krishna's manifestation inside each one of us. That's where everything happens. So which doesn't matter which form you have worshipped or you have taken shelter, everything is happening inside. From there you can see all spiritual life happens inside, not outside. Outside is very little. Outside is very little. So, who mentions this? Namalwar. Namalwar says this. Namalwar says, I went to Krishna and Krishna has swallowed me, he says. And he's lying there underneath the tree. He mentions that I've been swallowed by Krishna. There is no more ego inside, completely taken away. So, all devotees will say the same thing. This is another interesting thing. Whether he is a devotee of Vishnu or a devotee of Shiva or Sri Parvati, they all have the same thing to say. When you see the result, end result, it is the same. They will all say the same thing, that the form they have worshipped has swallowed them at the end. Swallowed them the end. Just like in the schools, children, when they copy others, isn't it? And the examinations, how they do the copying, and they will all say the same thing, I have copied. Sometimes it so happens that somebody has made a mistake, others have copied that, so they also lost it. But it's not like that in spiritual life. In spiritual life, you have copied the right person, you will also reach the same state. But the end result is the same. End result is the same. You may see the difference all in the outside, in your daily process of worship. You may see the differences between a devotee of Vishnu, a devotee of Shiva, a devotee of Sri Parvati. The differences you will see outside. But when it comes to the final stage, when the ego is completely swallowed by that form, it all happens inside. It all happens inside. So, and that is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. So here there is something interesting, that a jiva on its own, up to a particular stage it can go. It can go up to a particular stage due to his own effort and due to his anushtanam or daily nishtha, sadhana, everything will help him to get there. So, but after that stage, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You have to reach that stage that I can't do anything anymore. Till then you have to keep doing this. So suppose somebody asks, how far should I do this sadhana? How long do I have to do it? The answer is, till you are convinced that you can't do anything anymore. Up to that point you can. And that is why that Damodara Leela pastime in the Bhagavatam, just to teach us this one principle. Yashoda Devi and Krishna. You know the pastime. Everybody knows the pastime, isn't it? They sing the pastimes also. So, Yashoda tied Krishna. Yashoda tied him down to the mortar, isn't it? So, in the commentaries on them, they are saying there, what is the meaning of this pastime? Krishna ran away with the butter, Yashoda Devi chased him, and finally caught Krishna and tied him down to the mortar. Is it not? So, at that time, if you look into Bhagavatam, one or two things Shukha Brahmarshi has mentioned there. If you seriously look what Shukha Brahmarshi is telling us at that time, it's very important. He's saying there, who is Yashoda tying down? He's asking the question. The 10th canto, 9th chapter. Thirteenth verse, he mentions there, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there, na chandarna bahiryasya na purvam na bijaparam purvaparam bahis chandar jagadoya jagachayam. Vedavyasa is saying, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there, that what did Yashoda do to Krishna? This vastu standing there, talking about Krishna, vastu, calls it as vastu, isn't it? Standing there, it doesn't have an inside and outside. How can you tie something down which doesn't have an inside or outside? And it is present everywhere, sarvavyapi, isn't it? That tattvam, and that vastu, what is the mistake Yashoda has done? Yashoda has thought, that's my child. That was the first mistake. This vastu, who is na cha andar na behir. No inside, no outside. Na purvam na api cha param. It doesn't have a past, it doesn't have a future. That is the nature of the soul, isn't it? Sadvastu, sata, sata, they call it. What is the nature of the soul? This. Krishna is the soul of everyone. Krishna is pure spiritual, completely soul, it is spiritual. It has no inside outside. Soul cannot have an inside outside. Inside outside is for the matter. Soul has no inside outside. Soul's very nature, Krishna explains in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. What the soul is, isn't it? Very difficult to comprehend the soul. So, in order to remind us, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying here, na cha andar, no inside, no na bahir, no outside. Na purvam, na abhi cha param. It doesn't have a past, it doesn't have a future. If you ask, since when have you been existing? No answer. Because it's always been existing. And is there an end to it? No. It will always exist. And Puravaram Bahishchandar Jagadoya Jagachayam. He says here, this whole creation itself, Jagadoya Jagachaya, the whole creation is that thing, substance only. What you see as Krishna, is Krishna is this whole world, creation is also, because this has all come from Him. And saying that, he says, Tvam Matvalpajam Avyaktam Martyalingam Adhokshajam Gobiga Ulugale Dhamna Bhavanda Prakritam Yathaha. Not knowing all these things, because Yashoda had no clue about any of these things, whom she is trying to tie down. If she knew that this verse, Na Chandar Nabi, Yashoda had no idea. Yashoda is thinking, it's my son. I'll teach him a lesson, she is saying to Krishna. And then trying to tie him down. And Shiva Brahmarshi is saying there, because Yashoda didn't know about it, therefore she got into trouble. Every time, that is why when she was trying to tie down with the rope was short of length by 2 inch, isn't it? 2 inch always short. So Yashoda was trying to tie down, but always short, the rope is short. And Krishna is standing there and smiling at Yashoda. Imagine Yashoda's situation at that time. All that anger inside and wants to get Krishna under her control. And Shiva Brahmarshi is saying, if only she knew who she is trying to tie down. That's Shiva Brahmarshi is saying here. Na purvam, na chaparam. He says that na chandar na bahir yasya na purvam na api chaparam purvaparam bahischandar jagadoya jagachaya jagadoya jagachaya. This jagat, the world, creation itself is that vastu standing there. And whom, where will you put the rope around this? And Yashoda has no idea. Yashoda thought that this is my son. Let me tie him down. So what did Yashoda do? A vastu which doesn't have an inside or outside. And that vastu, Yashoda thought that it is my son and want to tie him down. So there, they say here that we, why this is spoken is, we also think the same thing. What do we think? We think, through chanting I will get Krishna. Through meditation I will get Him one day. We all think the same thing, isn't it? So they keep on increasing pressure from our side. First 4 rounds, then 16 rounds, then 64 rounds. Then like that we keep, as much your strength allows you in your sadhana, you keep on increasing the sadhana. And some people go in that route by the chanting process. Some other person is thinking that I'll study all the shastram and I will reflect a lot about the truth and I will realize him in that way. But even after doing all that, what will happen is, no matter what sadhana you do, and one day, after many, many years, you will come to realize, I didn't get Krishna. I can't get Krishna, even after doing all sadhana so many years. So, what can happen at that stage is, If that person is genuinely very serious in spiritual life, then he will know that his ego will suddenly crack. His ego will crack. It's the ego who is doing all these things. You have to remember that. It's the ego inside is doing the sadhana. All sadhana is done by the ego. And ego will eventually crack. His false ego will suddenly crack. He will realize, I can't do anything. I cannot do anymore. I can't move one inch further. I can't do. I've done everything what I can. Time is running out. Body is going to go. I'm going to die soon. What will I do now? And I spend all my life in executing this sadhana. What will I do now? So that is the point. When you come to that surrender state and your ego cracks up at that time, and in a great distress you are sitting there, not knowing which way to turn, at that time Krishna will reveal from inside. That's the only time it will happen. Because what's the reason behind it? False ego is tried very hard again and again and again. It has put a lot of effort. And it tried very hard and it should commit the suicide by itself. The false ego has to commit the suicide on its own. And in other words, individually one has to surrender within oneself. I can't do anything. Our effort, always we are thinking, I can do this, I can do that, I'll do this, I'll do that. This is all false ego inside. But a point comes when I can't do anything anymore. That is the point when that surrender happens inside. Up to that point, you have to keep working. Effort is necessary and work is essential. It doesn't mean that right now if I say, oh, I can't do anything about it, I'm going to stop chanting tomorrow. That's not the answer for that. You have to try, and in a genuinely inside that, it has to crack inside that thing. So sometimes people say, it's 50% I have to do, 50% Krishna has to do. People make all these kind of things, isn't it? So there, it's not in the sense that 50% is Krishna's, that if you keep on working very hard through the sadhana process, ultimately, when your sadhana comes to an end, Krishna reveals. Krishna, sadhana will come to an end one day, when you can't do sadhana anymore. Many sadhana, for example, suppose you have done sadhana for 50 or 60 years, by Krishna's grace that you had the health to do it. But one day a situation has happened, you are bedridden, you got sick, some serious illness had come, you can't chant anymore. So what happens then? So sadhana has its own limitations. Suppose you are doing deity worship, but if a day comes you can't get up from the bed anymore, what deity worship can you do? Or if you are going on parikramam or traveling to holy places, Vrindavanam, and then one day will come, you can't walk one step further. So what parikramam can you do? So all sadhana which is centered around the body and the mind has its own limitations. One day it will come to a dead stop. We have to acknowledge that. It's a reality of life. It's nothing we can do about it. So if by chance, if the sadhana was executed well during the healthy life, then when this happens, you will immediately say to Krishna that there's nothing I can do anymore. I am in this situation. You can see how life changes in a overnight. It can change a person's life. Someone who is walking healthy and moving around in this world, overnight everything is changed. Next day he is in the hospital or in somewhere going through a difficult time, and then all he wants is to escape from here as quickly as possible, isn't it? Up to that point you will make all plans and arrangements, everything. But when that happens, then you don't want anymore to be here because you know that you can't do anything here. So, but if properly bhakti is executed, Bhagavatam is saying to us at that point, if bhakti is executed properly in life, at that time you will be in a position to properly surrender to Krishna. In other words, that's when you will say, I can't do anything anymore, and that effort will go away. Effort will go away. So you can see in Yashoda's case, she has tried with a rope and always 2 inches short. What is that 2 inch? That 2 inch is a big thing, discussion always, isn't it? What's that 2 inch talking about? So you will see in the same thing, bendumichyati, that bendumichyati yameva sajjanam tam bhavandamai bendumichyati sani yujjarashana gunan bahun dungulonam akhilam kilaikshadaha bendumichyati yameva sajjanam. Sajjanam means devotees. Devotees always wants to make a relationship with Krishna. Bandhu means relative, isn't it? Bandhu. Bandhu means relation. You want to have a relationship with Krishna. And bandhu michadiyam eva sajjanam tam bhavandhamai bandhu michadi sani yujjarashana gunan bahun jungulonam akhilam kilaikshadaha. Then, so Yashoda was trying to tie Krishna down. All great jnanis, yogis, devotees, all of them wants to have become, make Krishna as their bandhu. Bandhu means a relationship with Krishna. They want to create. But what's happening here? How do they do that? You can see here that all personality who come to spiritual life, whether through jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, Raja Yogam, doesn't matter, whatever yoga system they follow, what do they want ultimately? They want to get Krishna, isn't it? They want to get Krishna at the end. When you say we want to get Krishna, if you speak in terms of jnani, he wants to realize the Krishna who is inside. As a devotee, he wants to realize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. And yogis, they want to realize him as the Paramatma inside. Doesn't matter which one it is. Vastu is the same. So, bandhumichyati yameva sajjanam tam bhavandamai bandhumichyati tani yujjarashana agunan bahun jangulonam akhilam kilaikshadaham. So, Yashoda Devi thought that I'm going to tie him down. Who? That vastu, who jnanis, yogis, devotees, everybody wants to make them as their relation. And Yashoda wanted to tie him with the rope, and it was always 2 inches short. 2 inches short. Dungulonam akhilam kilaikshada. So, she tried very hard, and all the time 2 inches short. 2 inches short. Our sadhana is also like that. There will always be that 2 inches short. You keep on doing sadhana and you will start thinking, I got it, but you will never get it. There will always be that 2 inch gap there in our sadhana also. And doing sadhana whole life, and one day you get completely exhausted. Then you can't do sadhana anymore after that. Because everybody in the spiritual life, they are hoping that one day it will happen, isn't it? With that hope we are executing spiritual life. We are all sitting here 3-4 hours on a Saturday and Sunday. Why? Because there is inside, Krishna is saying to us, that inquiry after me, there is something in our life makes us think that this life has no meaning. There is something beyond than this. Is it not? And Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is also telling us, go after Krishna. Go after Krishna. So, jnani may go through the process of jnana margam, devotee may go through the process of bhakti margam or yoga margam, whichever process it is. That vastu, you will notice with all your efforts all through the life, finally you will see there is that 2 inch short. Finally, that 2 inch short. That's why our sadhana is also like that. There will always be that 2 inch short. So, once that stage comes, by now you would have done a lot of things. By the time final stage comes, whole through life you have tried this, you have tried various things in life, you have tried all that. So, but inside that missing that fulfillment inside, I didn't get it, what I wanted. I didn't get it. So, Bandameva Kribayanu Majida, he says there. విస్మిదోస్మితసఖి జనేక్షితం స్విన్నసన్న వపుషం నిరీక్ష్యతం నిత్యముక్త వపురప్యహో హరే బంధమేవ కృపయాన్యుమన్యథాః. విస్మిదోస్మిత సఖీ జనేక్షితం, వెన్ యశోదాదేవి వాస్ ట్రైంగ్ టు టై డౌన్ అండ్ దిస్ 2 inch షార్ట్ ఆఫ్ లెంగ్త్, ఆల్ ద గోపీస్ ఆర్ ప్రెసెంట్ దేర్ అండ్ దే వర్ ఆల్సో బిట్ షాక్డ్, వై ఇస్ ద రోప్ ఆల్వేస్ షార్ట్. దే సెడ్ టు యశోద, వీ విల్ గో అండ్ గెట్ సమ్ రోప్స్, అండ్ దే వెంట్ అండ్ బ్రాట్ సమ్ రోప్స్ ఆన్ దేర్ ఓన్ అండ్ గేవ్ ఇట్ యశోద, టై టుగెదర్, నౌ ఇట్ విల్ గెట్ ఇనఫ్ లెంగ్త్. Everybody was convinced it is sufficient length will be there. But when they tied it down and they were trying to tie Krishna down, again 2 inches short. That's what it says here. Vismide smita sakhi janekshitam. All the yogi, all the gopis who were present there, vismidam. They were thinking, what's going on here? Svinna sanna vapusham nirikshitam. And they are looking at each other because they also don't know what is the answer. నిత్యముక్తమపురప్యహోహరే, దట్ పర్సనాలిటీ హూ ఈజ్ స్టాండింగ్ దేర్, హీ కెనాట్ బి బౌండ్ బై ఎనీథింగ్, ఈజ్ నిత్యముక్తం, దట్ ఈస్ హిస్ నేచర్, ఇస్ ఇట్ నిత్యశుద్ధ బుద్ధముక్త స్వరూపం ఈజ్ కృష్ణ. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ప్యూర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, నిత్యం, ఎటర్నల్ ఇట్ ఈస్, ఇట్స్ ఆల్వేస్ లిబరేటెడ్. అండ్ దట్ వస్తు యు ఆర్ ట్రయింగ్ టు టై డౌన్ విత్ దిస్ రోప్. నిత్యముక్తమపురప్యహోహరే, Krishna's body is spiritual, completely spiritual. You cannot tie that down with anything. Because we don't understand that, we are thinking that Krishna has also got a body like us. So that's where all the problems have started. Nitya mukta vapurapyaho hare bandham eva kripaya anyumanyathaah. What did Krishna do at that time? Krishna felt, seeing this confusion among Yashoda Devi and the gopis, out of his own causeless mercy, he decided to make it happen. And then the 2 inch length has gone. The message in this story is to us, for the sadhana, people who are performing sadhana, for them the message is, you keep on doing sadhana, but through sadhana you won't get me. Krishna is saying to us, through sadhana you won't get me. But after doing sadhana at a particular stage, when you come to the point that you can't do sadhana anymore and all your ego starts melting down, at that time, out of Krishna's mercy, Krishna will come and take control of the situation. That is that Damodara Leela is only to teach us this one principle, that Vismida Usmida Jane Sakhi Jane Akshitam Svinna Sanna Vapusham Nirikshadam Nisnitya Mukta Vapurapyaho Hare బంధమేవ కృపయాన్యుమన్యథాః. బంధమేవ కృప, కృష్ణ సేస్ టు యశోద, నా యూ క్యాన్ బంధనం, యూ క్యాన్ టై మీ డౌన్, వై కృపయాన్యుమన్యథాః, అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ కృప, కృష్ణస్ గ్రేస్ ఆర్ మెర్సీ, హీ అలౌస్ యశోద టు టై హిమ్ డౌన్. సో ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ దామోదర లీల ద ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ టు రిమెంబర్ ఇస్ దిస్, దట్ నో మ్యాటర్ హౌ వెల్ యూ ఎగ్జిక్యూట్ యువర్ సాధన, eventually you have to come to this point, that 2 inch short, that state, that you will see you will helpless. Yashoda was helpless at that point. Yashoda didn't know what to say after that. And they were all looking at each other, all the gopis and Yashoda Devi, they were looking at each other. At that time, from Krishna's side, bandham eva kripayanyam anyatha, he showed that you can now tie me down, and the 2 inch has gone. There was no short of. And then after tying, Yashoda is thinking, now I've done it. And this is the nature of the false ego, is it not? It will little bit, first of all, we get a lot of kick in this world. And then we think that, oh, we feel helpless. And then when things get a little better, we feel everything is under control. We say, and everything should be under control all the time. We get great pleasure in that, when things comes under control, is it not? So that's what it is. Mandhameva kabayanvanida. So out of Kripa, Krishna's grace, Krishna will allow us to tie him down in Bhakti Margam. In Bhakti Margam, this is a story of the Bhakti process, isn't it? Jnana Margam, what does it happen? Jnana Margam, it is like this, that because of very strong realizations through the power of thought, That's what this Jnanamargam is all about, isn't it? Through Jnanamargam means through the power of thought, that the Ahankaram has, false ego inside, has completely gone, wiped off from inside. If completely goes away, Jnanamargam, that will happen. Due to the power of the knowledge inside, the power of the knowledge inside, one has to become so serious in that way. He has to be so serious, that extremely serious, that soul alone exists, nothing else exists. And it, that's me, that soul. In that realization, when that becomes extremely serious, if he has good karma vasana from previous life also, if everything is favorable, so, and I have to realize that truth in this very life, and then the inquiry begins, who am I? That inquiry, holding on to that aham aham, the message that is from inside, which comes in the form of awareness. If you hold on to that, and through that process of inquiry, if you follow it up through all the life, you will one day come to that state that this false ego will surrender there. This surrender there. Because every time any thought wave comes, any emotion comes, or any kind of experiences in life comes, you are immediately not identifying with the thought wave or to the emotion or to the other experiences. Rather, what you are doing at that time, you are going after that, inquiring where this has come from. Who is experiencing this? This question comes inside very strongly. That is the Jnanamargam, Vijaramargam it is called. Jnanam or Vijaram. Vijaram means thought. So constant alertness inside, all the time about what is going on inside me. That is a Jnanamargam, where if any emotions, strong emotions develops, immediately, instead of identifying with the emotion, you are inquiring who is experiencing the emotion. At that time you see that false ego is the one behind it, and the false ego disappears. That is the Jnanamargam process. So, then, and it goes back to the same place where it has come from. Remember earlier we discussed this. The awareness as well as the ego, both are originating from the same source. The source is the same. When we wake up in the morning, first thing this ego comes out, isn't it? First thing is the ego comes out. Mind starts opening up. And then the vacant state begins. Vacant state begins. After the vacant state and the dream state, in the night when you go to sleep, in the deep sleep state, where has it gone? Where did the ego go and dissolve itself from where it came from? To the same place it goes back. And it is from that same place you are always, the message of your existence, awareness, consciousness is coming from. I am aware of my own existence, which we all are, all the time, is it not? That awareness is also coming from the same source. The place where the false ego has also come up is also from the same source. It goes back and dissolves there. So these two things are happening there, awareness as well as the birth of the false ego. So if you keep attention, alertness over that, you will notice that every time when a false ego comes in, you will notice it goes back and dissolves there. As soon as you go after that, with understanding that awareness is also coming from the same source. So, at that time you realize it, that this ego is a false thing. It's not a real thing. It's a false ego, that is, isn't it? So, on the other hand, what happens? When the false ego completely dissolves there, you'll start slowly experiencing that awareness inside. Awareness will come into activity. And that awareness is what Krishna has spoken yesterday, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad. If you look into that verse, Prayana Kale Manasa Chalena Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva. Before that, the verse before that, Kavim Purana Manusha Sitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredya Sarvasya Dataram Achindya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad. Isn't it? So, then Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad, Krishna says, Sarvasya Dadara Machindya Rubam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad. So Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad, he says, Then, when the false ego completely disappears, it is then that Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. That time, that sun is shining inside. Which one? Ahambodham, awareness inside, starts shining. So, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. So, bhakti takes us ultimately, takes to the point of Atmanivedanam and leaves us there. That's what bhakti does. See these nine processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnur Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam. Bhakti will go through all these eight processes, either all eight or one. If you do it well, one process is capable of doing that. It will take you to the eighth position and leave you there. The ninth one, Krishna has to do it. It's not in your hands. Out of the eight. That's why it's called, eight is called Angi, the eighth one is called Angam. Angam is the frame, Angi is the parts of that. So, that is why you will notice this is the same principle. If you go back into Bhagavatam, you will see in the Niminavayogi Samvadam, the same thing is spoken. How is that spoken there? If you look in the 11th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 40. Verse 40.
Yarhyabjanabham charanayishanayoru bhaktya chedomalani vidhame gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam alpadatvam sarshad yatha amaladrasho savitra prakashaha.
It's a very nice verse. After talking about Narayana, Krishna, what Krishna is, and explaining all the jnanamargam, finally, same Pipalayana Maharshi is saying there in the 40th verse, verse 35, 36, 37, 38, 39 is all explaining about Krishna. What is Krishna? And in the 40th verse, he says, Yarhabjanama charaneshanayoru bhaktya chedomalani vidhamel gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam atmadatvam sakshadhyatha amaladrisho savitru prakashaha.
By the increased process of these eight parts of the nine process of devotional service. Ninth one is not in your hands. You can't do anything about it. But the first eight, whoever is executing, all eight or at least one properly, if it's done, and if you become mature in that process, he says here, due to the increasing bhakti inside, and you will get released from the three modes of material nature, and also from the karma vasana. Karma vasana. Two things. One, modes of nature. Second one, karma. Both are problems. Karma creates problem, modes of nature causes problems. We want to get released from both. Karma vasana has to go from inside, and the effect of the modes of nature also has to go from inside. When that happens, mind is purified. Then you are purified. That what will happen is that in that heart, in that hrit, in that point, that time, just like the eyes are able to see, once you have cataract, if it's operated, that blur of vision goes away. Eyes can see things properly after the operation, is it not? Of the cataract operation, you can see clearly things. The blur of vision has gone, the blur. So similarly, it says here, tasmin, at that time, Chedo amalani vidhamel guna karma jani. He says, when you are released from the gunam and from the karmam, what will happen? Tasmin, at that point, vishuddham ubalabhyadam atmadattvam. Atma inside will reveal himself to you, what he is inside. You don't have to do anything at that. Exactly the same point. At that point is when the, through bhakti you come to that point. This is the point where Atmanivedanam happens. Atmanivedanam happens at that point. Tasmin vishuddha ubalabhyadam atmatattvam. Atmatattvam. The tattvam of the soul, which we don't have at the moment. That atmatattvam will come. Sashalyadham amaladrisho savitra prakasha. Savitra prakasha means, just like in the morning, whether you like it or not, the sun comes out, isn't it? Sun comes out, savitra prakasha. Similarly, when the clouds go away, sun is up there. He is always there. Soul is always there. He is always ready to reveal. But through bhakti, when all the clouds go away, that means purification has to happen inside, through the bhakti process. When that happens, tasmin mishuddham upalabhyadam alpadatvam sakshal yadham amaladrisho savidur prakasha. There what has happened, what actually has happened now, amaladrisham. Amaladrisham means what? Nothing, you didn't do anything with the soul. What you have done is, you have done the operation and cleared the cloud. But through the process of bhakti, you have cleared away the cloud which was already covering the soul inside. Amaladrisham. Amaladrisham means your vision has been purified. Your vision, drishyam. Drishyam means vision. Or the vision, the process of seeing, that is purified, but the vastu was still there. Nothing new has come from outside. It was already there. At the moment, we don't have a realization of the soul inside, isn't it? Everybody says, I'm not this body, I'm not this body. But what does it mean? Does it mean anything, I'm not this body, if I say to everybody? And somebody asks you, how do you know you're not this? Oh, it says in the Bhagavad Gita like that. Then that will be the answer for all of us, isn't it? Because Bhagavad Gita says, I'm not this body, so I'm not that body, it says. And nobody will accept us that way. And that gets more difficult when you study science. If you study science too much, it gets very difficult then even to say that I'm not this body, you'll find it difficult. So, sakshat yado amaladrisho savidra prakasha. Savidra prakasham. Like the sun comes out, it will come out from inside. You don't have to do anything. It's already there inside. Every one of us is there. All that is required is either through the process of bhakti or through the process of jnanam, you have to get him there. Through the process of bhakti, as we see here, that you keep performing sadhana, eight processes we have to execute properly. One or all the eight, or one or two, whichever one, that one has to decide within one's own capacity what one can do. Continuously doing that, the purification will happen. And that is what will make it as amaladrisham. When amaladrisham, it becomes savitra prakasha. The sun will shine from inside naturally. You don't have to look for him anywhere else. He's already there. So it is the subtle process of the process of bhakti or jnana margam. Both take us to the same goal at the end. At the end, we get at the same place. So, just like what is required is, the eyes has to be, has to have good vision, has to have. Similarly, when our conditioned mind and our impure mind or our conditioned intelligence, or what they call as the impure intelligence, if that impurities have gone from the mind and intelligence, automatically you will know that inside all of us, that Nitya Vastu, who is present in each one of us as awareness, that will come. That awareness will come out. Awareness will come out at that time. It will come out. So, this awareness, when it comes out, that is why Krishna mentions there, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad, isn't it? Like the sun, it will come out, he says. Now, when Krishna says, like the sun it will come out, you should not think immediately there will be a lot of light coming from me, or there will be an effulgence around the person and all that. People got into all this misconception in the past. They were saying one time that I have heard this, therefore I can say this openly. Some devotees were saying about some gurus, hey, when I look at him, there is an effulgence around him. They were saying like this. So there won't be any effulgence or anything. It's all happening inside. Nothing is his body will be the same body what it was before. Okay, if you nicely shave up and clean shaven head and beard, no beard, everything, and if you nicely wash you, there will be some effulgence, of course. But that is not this effulgence Bhagavatam is talking about. People get all misconceptions about it, isn't it? And if you wear some nice color, saffron colored clothes also, there will be some effulgence. Silk, saffron, and all that kind of, you know, in the modern world, spiritual life is a show, isn't it? And put some strong lights addressed directed to you. So then you'll, and if you take through the television, if you watch, you will see the person is shining everywhere, isn't it? And if you wear some nice jewels also all over the body, it's perfect guru then. So what can you do? This is how our conditioned mind goes in that way. So we should not think that there is going to be any light. No light is going to come out from inside. It will be the same person inside. It will be the same person inside. Outside. Outside it will look exactly the same, but inside things have changed. Inside things have changed. What has happened is that immediate experience inside, which is known as Aparoksha Anubhuti. Aparoksha Anubhuti, there is a book, Aparoksha Anubhuti, you can read. It will tell you what happens. Aparoksham it is. It's not paroksham anymore. Aparoksha Anubhuti means not through the senses you are experiencing directly, that's what you are. When realization happens, self-realization happens, when you come to know that what you are, that's called Aparoksha Anubhuti. Anubhuti coming from directly from the source. It's experienced level, in experience level, not anymore through the level of mind and intelligence. Not anymore through the level of mind. That's why it's called Aparoksha Anubhuti. Aparoksha Anubhuti is that. So Shuddham pure Chaitanya Prakasham. The Chaitanya Prakasham means there is no other way you can explain that. The soul showing its pure nature, manifesting itself. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, Krishna mentions this in the 13th chapter. If you look, you will see in the 18th verse, it's a very famous verse. After realization, what happens in a person? What happens in a person? Mentions there. Jyotisham apita jyoti tamasa param uchyate jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. You can see the word hridi has come again there. That's where it happens, in the hridi. Have you seen that? Hridi sarvasya vishtitam. What does he say? Jyotisham apita jyoti tamasa param uchyate jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. Famous words, huh? Jyoti shamabhida jyoti tamasaparam uchyade jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. That jyotisham abhida jyoti. The word jyoti means light, no doubt. The word jyoti means light or any luminous objects as translated. So when you read, you'll start thinking, oh, he is the source of light in all luminous objects, which means all electricity, all the gas, all the everything, he is the source. That's how your mind will go in that, isn't it? On a gross level, I'm saying. But that's not what it means. Here the jyoti means the effulgence of the, not effulgence, effulgence not in the material sense, the soul inside showing its beauty, manifestation. Beautiful manifestation of the soul. Soul will reveal everything at that point. No more body. We won't be able to experience the body anymore. It's the soul then at that time takes over everything. And he says here, Jyotisham abhita jyoti. That jyoti, this also you have to see it in a different way. The jyoti of anything, jyoti means sun has got jyoti there, isn't it? Sunlight is a jyoti. Now that jyoti in the sun, Krishna has spoken before. It's me, Krishna says. Isn't it? I'm the light of the sun. Is it not? And the moon. So, in that sense, you can see that one level. But important, more important than that is jyotisham api tad jyoti. That means, even sun and the moon, their life principle is also Krishna. Krishna is the living life principle of sun and the moon also. The sun has got that power of illumination because of Krishna's presence in the sun. The moon has got that power of reflecting the sunlight because Krishna is presenting the moon. That is why that is happening. That's how we have to see that. We should not separate sun from Krishna and see, oh, he has got this capacity. No, that capacity in the sun to emit this light, sunshine, is because of Krishna's presence in the sun. Similarly, Krishna is saying in the moon also, the capacity in the moon to reflect the sunlight is also because of Krishna's presence in the moon. If you understand it that way, there is no contradiction in the Bhagavad Gita anywhere. Otherwise, you will have difficulty. Jyotisham abhita jyoti tamasaparam uchyate. With this darkness, with this light, you cross over the darkness. What does that mean? With this knowledge, you cross over your avidya, ignorance, in other words. That's what it means. So, that is why in the next two lines, you can see Krishna mentions there, to avoid any confusion, jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam. Three things he says. The jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam. What does that mean? Jnanam. The knowledge is Krishna. Knowledge is Krishna. And jnayam. Jnanam, jnayam, knowledge is Krishna. And then jnayam. He is the object, isn't it? Krishna is the object of knowledge. Or the soul is the object of knowledge. Soul is knowledge. Soul is the object of knowledge. And he is the goal of knowledge. To make us very clear to us, Krishna is saying that without that soul, there is nothing to say as a reality. The reality is only the soul. Jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam. And that is what Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It's actually a verse from the Upanishad. Jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam, Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam. So, when we understand the soul, as we go through this process, you can see here that the sunlight Yaschayam Purushe Kaschayam Aditya Sa Eshaha. That person who gives the light to the sun, Jyoti, to the sun, and that same source which gives the illumination to the sun, who gives us sunlight, it is that same source that is who is present inside us as the soul. Soul or Krishna gives that power to the sun to shine. And he gives us the sunlight, is it not? Gives us sunlight. And we are amazed by the sun's potency. Krishna is saying, it is that same source who has given the power of illumination for the sun. He is inside all of us, who is present inside. When he reveals himself, it will be like the experiencing the sunshine. Not on a physical level, but on a realization level. You realize the truth. So, that jyoti, jyotisham avisa jyoti, that jyoti, when our ignorance completely goes away from inside, it starts showing its pure nature. It is at that time what we call avaranam. Avaranam means the covering potency. Covering potency completely goes away and that comes out. That comes out. Two things we have, isn't it? One is vikshepam and the other one is avaranam. Vikshepam, avaranam, two things. Vikshepam means chittavritti. That's all vikshepam. Avaranam means covering the truth. They give the example like, suppose a rope is lying on the floor. To think that it is a snake is vikshepam, is vikshepam. Mistakenly I thought it is not a rope, but it is a snake. But I thought it is not a rope, that is a vikshepam. But to think that it is a snake is avaranam. The two things happening there at that time. First thing, we didn't recognize its original form of a rope. That's first ignorance in me. The second ignorance is, instead I misunderstood it as something else. That's the second ignorance. So one is vikshepam and the other one is avaranam. Avaranam is the covering potency. Vikshepam is the deluding potency. Delusion, illusion it puts us into. So that is what it is. So he says here, so at that time that jyoti, the light inside, it manifests. When they realize, jnanam, yayam, jnanagamyam, hridi sarvasya vishthitam, Krishna is saying, from inside that realization will come out. When after performing all the sadhana and you have failed in everything, you have to fail. And then feeling helplessly, when you are situated at that time, if Krishna's grace comes and take control of it, at that time the realization comes from inside. So that is what Krishna is saying in that 10th verse. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva and bruor madhye pranam avesha samyak satam param purusham upaidi divyam, he says. Is it not? So that verse is indicating that. This whole thing is all about that. That's what Krishna is saying in that verse. So this, as I mentioned before, all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita in this chapter is for realization. Talking about it won't help very much. We can talk about it and you will also get to understand the verse, but till you realize it, it will remain as a theoretical exercise. So yesterday we looked at this verse, isn't it? Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. And bruor madhye pranamavesha samyak sadambharam purusham upaidi divyam. So prayana kale means time of death, the last flight from this world, when you don't have to come back, one-way ticket. Manasa chalena. So at that time, if the mind does not move, Krishna is saying, if the mind does not flicker at that time, and if the mind is gone inward instead of being in the world outside, how it will happen? If you think about it at the time of death, it won't work. We have seen that before. It's not going to happen at the time of. So therefore, whole life, dirgha kalam, Ajahn Sanji mentions here, dirgha kalam, he says, bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva, that yoga balam mentions here, that samadhija samadhija samskara prajayajinam chittasthaira lakshanam yoga balam. What is that yoga balam is explaining there? That samadhija samskara prajayajinam chittasthaira lakshanam yoga balam. That is his definition on that. That samadhi, one has to practice. Here you have to get the samadhi first. Only then it will happen. If you want a guaranteed result, then all these things have to be experienced here in this life, not after death. Don't pin your hopes after death. After death, what will happen, nobody knows. Don't live in that illusion that, oh, I am living a good spiritual life, everything will be all right after death. I've chanted, I've taken initiation, that's all fine. But Krishna is saying here, if you look at these verses, it's a very strong indication that if it has to happen, it must happen today or right now in this life here itself. Everything has to happen. What he's saying there is that samadhi state. That samadhi state, we have to సమాధిజ సంస్కార ప్రజయ జనితం చిత్తస్థైర్య లక్షణం. దట్ మీన్స్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ హౌ విల్ యూ నో దట్ ద మైండ్ వోంట్ ఫ్లిక్కర్. మైండ్ క్యాన్ గో ఇస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్. సో దాట్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ దట్ ఇన్ హియర్ రైట్ నౌ ఇఫ్ యూ ఆర్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్. ఆల్ దిస్ ఈస్ మెన్ ఫర్ పీపుల్ హు ఆర్ వెరీ సీరియస్ అబౌట్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్, నాట్ ఫార్ దోస్ హూ జస్ట్ టేక్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఏ yeah on as another I would have some spiritual life also in my life that way won't work. It's meant for those who are very very serious about spiritual life. That's why it is important to understand this, that he says here samadhija samskaram. Samadhi samskaram has to develop inside in a person. What does it mean? It means that through the process of the yoga system what one is practicing, he has to experience samadhi here, that samadhi state here itself. Prajaya janitam, if it has happened, you can say that his chittam, chittam means mind, or chittam in other words they use the same word, chitta sthaira lakshanam, chittam will be very steady, it won't move. And that realization has to happen before death, long before the death. So you can see the problem. If it happens like that, that means samadhi experience must happen here long before death. If he gets that samadhi experience, then you can take a guarantee that at the time of death, mind won't go in the wrong way. Mind won't create any thoughts inside. Mind won't create any thoughts inside. Just they give the example, samadhi experience, just like there is a particular butterfly, and that butterfly, before it becomes a butterfly, it's like a worm. And there is another insect that comes and takes this worm and takes it to its nest. When it is in the nest, it will keep looking at that worm, what it has brought. It won't eat the worm. It will keep looking at that worm. And by simply by looking at that worm for a period of time, that worm comes out as a butterfly. This is the way that butterfly takes its birth. It's a special butterfly. So, at that point, what has happened? That worm has stopped all its karma. No karma for the worm. It's not doing any karma. It's sitting inside that, in its nest of the other insect which has brought inside. And after a while, that worm turns into a butterfly. And then when it becomes a butterfly, it flies away from there. Similarly, yogi also, in seclusion, in loneliness, alone, in solitude, he executes dhyanam or meditation. This is the jnana margam and the yoga margam. And that yogi eventually comes to the samadhi state. If you look into Viveka Chudamani, you will find some beautiful verses about that, how that happens. He says there that verse 359, he says kriyandara sakti mapasya kitako dhyayan nalitvam halima bhavam ruchyati tadhaiva yogi paramatma tattvam dhyatva samayadi tadega nishtaya. That is that verse, kriyandara sakti mapasya kitako ధ్యాయన్నలిత్వం హలిభావమృచ్ఛతి తథైవ యోగి పరమాత్మతత్వం ధ్యాత్వా సమాయాది తదైక నిష్టయ. నిష్ట తదైక నిష్టయ, ఇట్ సేస్ హియర్ జస్ట్ యాజ్ ది It mentions as cockroach or the giving up all the attachment to all other actions, thinks intently on the Brahmaram and becomes transformed into that worm. So it is in the Bhagavatam also that when they brings that worm inside, the worm is frightened that he is going to eat me. And this insect which has brought this worm, it keeps looking at that all the time. And that worm, in course of time, due to the power of its, the force of that looks from the insect, it turns itself into this butterfly. And Kriyandarasakti Avasya Kitako. Kriyandarasakti. What is Kriyandarasakti? Kriyandarasakti means attachment towards karmam has gone. Kriya. Kriya is karmam. Asakti is attachment towards karmam. That has gone away. Kidam. It is called Kidagam. And Dhyayana Liptvam Halibhavam Rachati. Due to that meditation state, is always in the meditation state. Who? That particular worm at that time. It is one of the spiritual masters mentioned in the 24 spiritual masters in the Bhagavadam. It's mentioned there. Supeshakrit, that's the word. If you look in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see the same thing mentioned. In the 11th canto, the last 24th spiritual master is him. That's what it is mentioned there. If you look into the chapter 7, 7 or 8, 8, no, actually this is the 9th one, verse 23. Kidam Peshaskradam Dhyayan Kudhyam Tena Praveshita Yati Tal Salpadam Rajan Purva Rupam Asandhyajan. He says there, isn't it? Kida Peshaskradam Dhyayan Kudhyam Tena Praveshita. Kidam Peshaskradam Dhyayan Kudhyam Tena Praveshita. The same thing what Viveka Chudamani is saying, it's the same thing in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavatam is saying that kidam, that worm that has been brought in and it has been put into its nest and it is staying there. At that time, it is frightened, very frightened that it is going to be eaten by this insect what he has brought, who has brought it in. But this insect won't eat that worm. It will keep looking at it and keep frightening that. It lives in that fear for some time and then it changes its body into a butterfly and flies away from there. That's what it's mentioned. Kida peshaskradam dhyayan kudhyam tena praveshita yadi tal salpadam rajan purvarubam asandhyajan. Purvarubam asandhyajan. Purvarubam asandhyajan means it gives up its original form as a worm and it turns into this butterfly. Turns into this butterfly. Similarly, in the yogi also, that because how does a change happen to that worm? Because that worm at that time is not thinking about anything else, only one thing. What is it? Am I going to be eaten by the fear inside? And that worm stays like that. Yogis are like that. Their devotion, there's one pointed, not allowing anything else to come into their life. No other thoughts. When they practice that for a while, what will happen is, next verse says, Adiva Sokshmam. If you look into the 360 verse, in Viveka Chudamani, verse 360, it says, Adiva Sokshmam, extremely subtle, Paramatma Tattvam, that truth about the absolute nature. Na sthula drishtya pratibantumah arhati. Through your sthula drishti. Sthula drishti means what? Our gross vision. Through gross vision, you cannot understand this. You cannot know this thing inside. You will not know through your gross vision. Adiva sushmam paramatma tattvam. Paramatma tattvam, the tattvam of the Krishna who is present inside, you will not know that because it is too subtle. Too subtle. Nastula drishtya. Through your gross vision, you won't get in. Pratipattvam arhati. You cannot achieve that. Then, samadhinat andha sushma vrittya. Samadhina atyandasu sushma vrittya. Very difficult. Tramadhi state to your extremely. Atyandam means on an extreme level. So sushma vrittya. Due to your sushmam, sushmatvam or subtlety. Jnabravyam ayam yadishuddha buddhibhi. You will realize it. Jnatavyam means you will realize this. Radhi Arya Radhi Shuddha Buddhibi. When your intelligence is purified. In the Shastram, what it means is intelligence purified means that all other impurities of the intelligence is gone, which state is called Prajna Shuddhi. Prajna Shuddhi means that you will catch the truth like that. Very easily you will get it. If it is purified inside. The prajna. Prajna means that awareness is purified. There's no impurities anymore inside. Basically, either through bhakti or through jnanam if it happens. So that state is called external with perfectly pure mind by means of samadhi. And it's a particular state. What is called that samadhi state? Samadhi state is that state. So these two verses are talking about that samadhi state. What happens at that time? Then subtlety is spiritual life. All about subtlety, isn't it? The subtleness. That subtleness has to happen means that purity has to happen first inside. And samadhina atyandasu sushma vrittya. He says it is atyandasu sushma vrittya. Extremely sushma vritti, that is. Extremely sushma. And jnadavyam arye yadi shuddha buddhibi. Jnadavyam. He will know that by shuddha buddhibi. By the purified intelligence inside. When we are very gross, what happens is, we think, what is there to purify in me? I'm pure. I've taken a bath this morning. 3 times I've taken bath. And I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I should be very pure. That's not it is. It's a long way to go from there. To get that sushma vritti, that what he mentions here, that samadhina atyandasu sushma vrittiya. We don't have that sushma vritti inside us, isn't it? Because we are always seeing everything on a very, very gross level. Jnadavya vāryai radishuddha buddhibi. When buddhi is pure, shuddha buddhi, we're very purified inside, that extremely subtle vision will develop in that person and then he will reach that samadhi state. So those two verses in the Viveka Chudamani is talking about samadhi state. What's happening at the samadhi state? Kriyanda rasakti mapasya kitako dhyayanna liptam hilibhava machyati tadhaiva yogi paramatma tattvam dhyatva samayadi tadega nishtaya. Then he says, Ativa sushmam paramatma tattvam na stula drishtya pradibantum arhati samadhina atyandasu sushma vrittya jnadavyam ayar yadi shuddha buddhibi. So you can see that cultivating that sushmada, sushmatvam, subtlety is an important thing in spiritual life. And that sushmada comes how? By reflection. Not allowing the mind to wander in the world. Otherwise, sushmada won't build up. Sushmada builds up when you don't allow the mind to wander in the world outside. This is why Shastram says, turn the mind inward, inward looking, go inwards, go inwards. They keep saying to us, isn't it? For this reason only. Remember yesterday we discussed that Sri Narada Maharshi was told by Krishna, that Namanyanandasya Hadatravapadan Guhyani Bedrani Kritani Jasmaran गाम्भर्यणां तुष्टमना गदस्पृहा कालं प्रतीक्षन् विमतो विमल्सराः. Narada Maharshi, what was he saying about? He is saying, after Krishna left, Krishna told Narada Maharshi, in this lifetime you won't see me again. But spend your rest of the time in this world. He's only a young boy, 5 or 6 years old. He says to him, rest of your life in this world, gam paryadam tushtamana gadaspraha, that you spend your world, wander around in this world. In other words, Krishna is saying to him, don't give any attention to this world. Just wander around. And don't give any attention here into the world. Tushtamana gadaspraha. Wait for the time to come. Till that time comes, vimato vimalsara kalam pradikshan. All that is to mention that point again, that telling to Narada Maharshi that you should go inward. Looking inward everything. That's why Guhyani Bedrani Kratani Jasmaran. Chant the holy name and Guhyani Bedrani Kratani, which we had discussed yesterday. All those things going on inside, you will have to withdraw yourself from the world, which is most important thing. Which is the most important thing. So those two things you can see, Samadhi state is spoken there. What Samadhi means. So that Samadhi, when that is practiced here, that Paralpadatva Sula Drishtyam. So at that time the Samadhi means, it here the Samadhi, what is spoken here, is not Yoga Samadhi. Remember, Samadhi comes in two different ways, Jnana Samadhi and Yoga Samadhi. There is a difference there. In the Yoga Samadhi, just like you have got, Yoga Samadhi means Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. The eight processes, just like we have 9 processes in the Bhakti, isn't it? Similarly, the Ashtanga Yoga process, Patanjali's process, is these 8. There, one that is called Yoga Samadhi. Here, what Krishna is talking about is Jnana Samadhi. What is that Jnana Samadhi? Jnana Samadhi means that Jnana Samadhi, because there what happens in the Jnana Samadhi is the Sukshma Vritti, Sukshma. Sukshma means extremely subtle level, able to operate inside. All jnanis are very subtle people. Are they not? They are very subtle. Vedavyasa Maharshi is the most subtle person. Remember when Sri Narada Maharshi, when Vedavyasa was sitting on the banks of river Saraswati, Saraswati river, and he was thinking, why am I not happy after writing Mahabharata? He was not happy. And he kept thinking, why am I not happy about it? And he got the answer from inside. I did not discuss glories of Krishna. Is it not? He mentions there, I didn't discuss the glories of Krishna. Therefore he felt, so he thought and he got the answer also from inside. What do we do when we have a question? We have so many places to phone up, starting with the GP, age 50, or Citizens Bureau, everywhere will ring with our problems, isn't it? So whereas jnanis, by nature, they don't go into the world looking for the solution. As soon as there is a problem, they go inward looking. Why this has happened? And the answer for them will come from inside. Because of that, sukshmada inside, sukshmatam, subtlety inside. So Vedavyas got the answer from inside, that Mahabharatam was fine, but I have made some problem with Mahabharatam in this world. I didn't talk about Krishna. That was a big mistake I made in the Mahabharatam. I should talk about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, on its own, separately. And therefore, I have to write Bhagavatam. After that, only Narada Maharshi is coming there. Sri Narada Maharshi came to see him after that. And then he wanted a confirmation from Narada Maharshi. Not that Narada Maharshi told him first. He got himself clear what he has to do. But the confirmation, he got it from Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi told him the same thing. That you wrote Mahabharatam, that's very well. But you didn't glorify Krishna enough there. That is the reason, he said, that you are feeling unhappy. And then once he got the confirmation, then he wrote Bhagavatam. So that's how Bhagavatam was written, isn't it? So here you can see that that Sushma Vritti is that. Those who have got Sushmada, they will know, get the answer from inside. So we'll have a break. So we were talking about this, that Prayana Kale, time of death, while packing on your way home. Prayana Kale Manasa Chalena. At that time, Manasa, mind, should be achalam. It should not flicker. There should be no movement in the mind. And that will happen, he says, Bhaktiya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva. If you have practiced spiritual life properly in this life, Yoga Balam, there will be a strength that you will get from that. That's called Yoga Balam. Bhaktiya Yukto. Their word bhakti means, bhakti means full devotion. That means you are completely devoted to the process what you are executing in this world. Whether you are practicing karma margam or yoga margam or jnana margam or bhakti margam, doesn't matter. Bhakti means actually that you are genuine loyalty to the process what you are following. So bhaktiya yukta yoga balena chaiva, Krishna is saying that from that bhakti yukti, bhaktiya yuktya yoga balena chaiva, yoga balam, the power that comes from that yoga process. Bhur madhye pranamavesha samyak sadam param parisham upayati divyam. In that verse, there is jnana margam, yoga margam, bhakti margam, everything there in that verse. So bhur madhye pranamavesha samyak, that bhur madhye means this junction here between the two eyelids. Pranan has reached there. Sadam param, if he has reached there, he is seeing at that time itself sadam param purusham upayati divyam. He is seeing that Parama Purusha at that point. So we were discussing this. He says there, Yoga Balena Chaiva. That's the word we were talking about. What is the power of yoga system? So I was talking that there are two samadhi states, isn't it? We are talking about. One is the yoga samadhi, other one is the jnana samadhi. What is the difference between the two? Difference is this, that yoga samadhi comes through this 8 processes, Ashtanga Yoga, which means Yamam, control of the mind, control of the senses, and Asanam, properly able to sit in a place, a Yoga Asanam process, then control of the life air, Pranayamam, Asanam Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, able to take out everything from inside, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, that is the 8 processes, that is the Yoga Samadhi, what is spoken there. So here the jnana samadhi is spoken. How do we know that? Because Krishna is saying there, yoga balena chaiva, in that verse, bhruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak sadambaram purusham upaidi divyam. The verse says, and that samadhi state, what one reaches, samskara prajaya janidam chitta sthaira lakshanam. The mind should not flicker. That is that samadhi state. In samadhi state, both in the Ashtanga Yogam, Ashtanga Yoga means Patanjali's Yogam, as well as in the Jnana Yogam, the result is the same. What is that? The mind has no more movement at that point. Mind cannot, which means no more chitta vritti inside. No more chitta vritti inside. That is that state. No more chitta vritti in there. So, that means you are completely conscious of your awareness. I am that awareness. Aham bodham. Complete awareness of your own identity. Not ahankaram. Ahankaram is false ego. Aham bodham is your awareness. Is your awareness. That you know what you are. Means you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intelligence, you are not the ego. You are that Jyotisham Abhida Jyoti inside. That realization will come at that time. And That stage, Krishna says here, that is called samadhi. That you know what you are. So, in that state, if this tattvam, what Krishna has spoken, so, and that through your intelligence or through the process of knowledge of the Shastram or through the Shastra Vijaram, Shastra Vijaram, in other words, if that realization comes to you at that point, that I have nothing to do with this body, you have managed to free yourself away from the body. Please remember this, that when we discuss Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in many places, Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Bhakti Margam, everything will come back and forth. There will always be the same. Krishna has not separated it like this. Krishna is concerned, there is only Yogam. One thing, Krishna talks about Yogam. But for our convenience, according to our vasana inside us, our impressions or propensities in us, we have, the Acharyas have broken it up into Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam in that way. Reality, there is only one thing, Krishna and us. We have to get back to Krishna, that's it. That's Yogam, isn't it? Linking ourselves with Krishna. That linking process is all this, Jnanam, Yoga, Karmam, Ashtangam, Raja Yogam, all other different processes. So, so even if you have studied Shastram, for example, this is, I'm trying to explain about that Samadhi state, Yoga Samadhi and Jnana Samadhi. In Yoga Samadhi, you will get there through the process of these 8 steps. Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. 8 process. That's completely the Ashtanga Yogi's process. Ashtanga Yogi's process. In Jnana Margam, what happens? We have Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. The 3 steps, which requires, demands a lot from us, isn't it? So, that means, you require to study Shastram very well. Shastram, you have to study very well. But even if you have studied Shastram, and through the process of Shastram, it's not necessary that you will get there. You will get there. Because if the, after studying Shastram, what will happen? Inside thoughts will develop. Vicharam. Vicharam will develop inside. Vicharam means thoughts. So this Shastra Vicharam, it has to give way for Atma Vicharam. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shastra Vicharam, Shastram you have studied now, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. But eventually, Shastram has to withdraw and allow you to engage in Atma Vicharam. Atma Vicharam means inquiry of the soul, not inquiry of the Shastram anymore. Shastra, when you are studying Shastram, it is Shastra Vicharam. That means you are acquiring that understanding from the Shastram. But eventually, Shastram has to go away and Atma Vicharam has to begin inside. Atma Vicharam has to begin inside. Otherwise, what will happen is, Shastra Vicharam will become Shastra Vasana. It will become a Vasana inside. Remember, when we discussed this Lokeshana, Vitteshana, Dareshana, Eshanatrayam, we spoke. Is it not? So, there also in Bhajagovindam prayers, it mentions there that how Vasana, due to the power of Vasana, sometimes Shastra Vasana will build up in people. So, what does it mean, Shastra Vasana means? Shastra Vasana means that you want to know every Shastram in the world. Everything what's there in the Vedic tradition, for example. You study a lot of Yoga Shastram, then you study all the Upanishads for Jnana Shastram, and then you study all the Puranam, and then you study the Vedam also, and Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, endless that is, if you start doing all that. That is Shastra Vasana, that is. That is Shastra Vasana. But when it becomes Atma Vicharam, that means you are not anymore interested in, you are interested in the tattvam, not in the books. How much knowledge is in each book, that's not your inquiry. Your inquiry is, you want to get the result inside you, which needs that you need Atma Vicharam inside. All this Halsangam, Shastram and all is only to create that inside us, that thoughts inside us. So when it should give way to Atma Vicharam at the end, that means you don't have to study all the books in this world. Two or three important books everybody needs to get that proper understanding. For example, like we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's more than sufficient if you study it in depth. But after studying all that, if does not create vijaram or thoughts inside, vijaram does not happen, then it's a problem. Then it remains as a shastra vasana. Otherwise, it will become a big burden on the mind. In Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi mentions this. He says, they are called Manya Gardavaha, he says. They are very honorable people, but they are donkeys, he says. Honorable donkeys, in other words. So translate that. Manya Gardavaha, he says like that. So Ramachandra, why Ramachandra asked to Vasishtha, why you go and call these people as donkeys? He says to Vasishtha, they are very learned people, are they? Vasishtha says, yes, Manya Gardabaha, because he's saying, Vasishtha gives the explanation, this donkey has got one nature. We may have, if you have seen donkeys, you will know that. Donkeys eat paper. So when the washerman, they maintains these donkeys, washerman don't give any food to the donkey, you know. He only uses them for carry, never given any food. He says, oh, it's a donkey, it doesn't need anything. That's his conclusion. He never feeds anything to the donkey. That's why they maintain the donkeys. They utilize them. And if it's a bull, you have to feed the bull properly, isn't it? But donkeys, you don't have to feed anything. Donkeys can eat the grass or any garbage. If you put it, he will eat it. That's a donkey. That's a donkey's nature. Any garbage. Mostly it will eat the paper. If any paper is lying on the street, it will go and eat that paper. Vasishtha is saying to Ramachandra, they are like that donkeys. They have eaten all the paper, but nothing has happened at the end. That's why that comparison. Manya Gardabaha, he says. Manya Gardabaha. Very honorary donkeys, he says. They are. He says like that. So, because if you simply eat Shastram all the time, only studying Shastram, intellectually there will be a block. There will be a block, intellectual block. But it is not coming in the, that's the intellectual block it is. It's not coming in the experience anything. No realization is coming, simply accumulating information and knowledge in the head and keeping it there. Taimanavar mentions this. He says, I've studied about you, he says to the deity, I've studied about you everything. But if I have not experienced anything, what's the use of all the studying, he says. This will happen. In spiritual life, this is another problem. Many people study Shastram a lot, but nothing in realization happening. So that is why both sides we have to take care. One side, sadhana must go on. Under no circumstances you can move away from doing the sadhana. But a time will come in life when you cannot do the sadhana anymore. Up to that time you have to do it. Till it comes to the point that you can't do it anymore, at that time you can give it up. At that time you can give up the sadhana. In the Bhagavatam, this question comes, when should one give up sadhana? This question is there. In answer to that, Narada Maharshi mentions that to Vedavyas. You will see there. He mentions there, when one's dharmam, one cannot give up at any time. Unless it comes to a point your body cannot function anymore or mind cannot function anymore. If you come to a state like that, then you have to, you can give it up. Otherwise you can't give it up. So that's the important thing. So that's one state. So what does Shastram does? Because the purpose of all the studying Shastram and Atma Vicharam or reflection, everything, is to create that Shanti inside. Shanti inside. Shanti means that peaceful existence inside. Peace or Shanti, you will see throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about Shanti, isn't it? Excitement and happiness and all that is not the symptom of the soul. It's not the symptom of the soul. Symptom of the soul is Shanti inside. Shanti is what Krishna mentions there. Similarly, Shastram is only a Shastram. What Shastram does is, it points you in the right direction. That's all it does. It points you in the right direction. In other words, Shastram is telling us, you have to become, go inward looking, Andharmakhattva. Inward looking nature you have to cultivate. Shastram says to us, because it says the vastu you are looking for is inside. Vastu looking for is inside. So, once one person asked this question, for a long period of time, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita, he said. For a long period of time, I'm studying, and still I'm not getting any knowledge of the soul, he said. I'm not getting any knowledge of the soul. So, Maharshi asked him this question back. He said, you're not listening to Bhagavad Gita, he said. What does Bhagavad Gita tells you? Bhagavad Gita says to you, find out the soul. Don't look at me, look at yourself, in other words. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is telling us that look at yourself, don't look at me. But we kept on looking at Bhagavad Gita, thinking that this book, Bhagavad Gita, will bring us everything. It's a big problem, isn't it? For all of us, we've got this problem. If we'll keep the Bhagavad Gita in the shelf and thinking that one day that book in the shelf is going to solve this problem, our problems of life, it's not going to get problem to anything. Or if you distribute millions of Bhagavad Gita, it will solve the problem. Nothing will solve the problem till then Bhagavad Gita, we do what Bhagavad Gita tells us to do. What is Bhagavad Gita telling us to do? Look inwards. Because he is there. Krishna is explaining that all through the Bhagavad Gita, his presence inside. So we are taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita is for seeing ourselves, not to see the book. Not to see the book that we are taking the shelter of Bhagavad Gita, in order to see ourselves, or in other words, to realize the self. That's why we are taking Bhagavad Gita. Not for seeing what, where is it printed, which year it was printed, how is it edited, who has edited it. All these things have no meaning at all. Till the message in the Bhagavad Gita starts working inside, it's all useless. It's all useless. Just like a mirror. Just like a mirror. So, in order to get that, we need what is known as prajna. That is prajna shuddhi. Prajna shuddhi means that you are taking Bhagavad Gita and you are not thinking anymore it like a book to read. Rather, you are thinking, whatever that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, is that happening inside me? That's more important. So, there is a verse there, yasya nasti swayam prajna, shastram tasya karoti kim, lojanabhyam vihinasya darpana kim karishyati. It is one of the verses which talks about those who are studying Shastram. It says, yasya nasti swayam prajna, shastram tasya karoti kim, lojanabhyam vihinasya darpana kim karishyati. A blind person, if you show him a mirror and tell him to look at it, look at yourself, does it make any sense? It's not going to help, isn't it? For a blind person, if you show a mirror to him, look at the mirror, how you look like, what does it mean? Doesn't mean anything. Similarly, in the same way, one who has no spiritual inquiry happening inside, for him giving all the Shastram also doesn't help. Doesn't help. Because that Shastram is of no use to him. He has not gone inward looking. He hasn't started working for spiritual life. All he is seeing is book, reading, page after page, course, seminar, tests, certificates, framing them, hanging them up. What will happen from that? What will happen? Whole lifetime you can study for so many courses and seminars and certificates, and you can hang them up all and look at them, say, I have passed Bhakti Shastri, I have passed so many other Shastri, I have become a Shastri now. But I have not realized the truth, what is the use at the end? That is the question, is it not? So, lojanabhyam vihinasya darpana kim karishyati. So, you have cut somebody's nose, is cut off. And he says to him, now look at yourself in the mirror, and he is blind. What is the benefit from that? Similarly, if the prajna is not there, even if you have studied shastram, you will not know the truth. You will not know the truth. So shastram is shastram is all there, but at the same time, if you are still remaining as you are, then it hasn't helped you very much. So only when the prajna inside, when that gets a little clear inside, it is at that time shastram is beneficial. Shastram is beneficial. For example, all these regulative principles and the sadhana what we are performing is all for that prajna shuddhi inside. So that unnecessary chittavritti goes away from inside. Generally, people, particularly nowadays, in the beginning, Prabhupada said everybody should stay in the temple. He put that restriction. He was not willing to initiate anybody who lived outside the temple. He would not. He was very forceful about that. And because there is a reason behind it, when you are in the temple, the chances are that you will not be influenced too much by the world outside. Is it not? You won't be influenced by the world outside. It's natural. That provided everything is done in the temple properly, of course, that is that's not to be spoken about. But so that was the idea behind it, that those who are, Prabhupada said, those who are very serious, they can stay in the temple. And those who are not serious, he made the division there itself. Those who are not serious, they can live outside and chant Hare Krishna, and one day when they are ready for it, they can come, or whatever has to happen in their life according to the prarabdham, they have to continue. Because there itself, Prabhupada said that he classified, he made this distinction between the people. Those who are living inside and those who are living outside. Those who are living inside must follow seriously and live that life properly. That's what was expected. Those who are living outside, they don't know what they are doing, because it is quite natural, it's understood that way. But of course, over a period of time, everything has changed. Inside, outside, everything gone in a completely different directions. So therefore, it is very difficult to say now whether to stay inside or outside. It's all the same at the end. It comes to that now. So anyway, the problem is this, that the purpose of the shastram is that it should help ultimately to come to that samadhi state through Atma Vijaram or through the realization. And as the prajna becomes more sushmam, more subtle, that subtlety has to build up, and that pure chit shakti inside, chitta becomes very pure inside, that state is called samadhi state. Samadhi state. So, in the jnana margam, purification of the chittam is important. And when that chittam gets purified, that is called jnana samadhi. Jnana samadhi. So now we have this word chittam is a very difficult word, in the sense that what we, chittam and chit is two different things. Chit shakti is what the powerful force inside which we are and where all the awareness comes from. That is chit shakti. Chittam is the force of your experience of your thought waves inside. For example, in the subtle body, we have mind, intelligence, false ego, and chittam. Four things. These four things are packaged together and they are called subtle body, sushma shariram. In that sushma shariram, mind we know, what does it do? Intelligence you know, false ego you know. What is chittam then? Chittam is that before anything becomes coming into karmam in the life, becomes turns into karmam, there is a strong current of vasanas what is inside our subtle body. That is called the vasanas, which is called the chittam. Chitta vasana it is called. That means the impressions we have created inside in the form of chitta vritti, different vritti, when it has become stronger and stronger, it becomes a samskaram first. After samskaram, in the next stage, it becomes vasana. By the time it has become vasana, it has become very strong inside. Anything, for example, we have different chittavritti comes through our mind, isn't it? Anger, lust, greed, envy, pride, all are these are different chittavritti coming to us. Or nature of gossiping, thoughts about others, different chittavritti. They are all vritti, they are called vritti, chittavritti. These vritti, if you notice that it is going to cause you trouble from the beginning, and if you avoid, it won't cause any trouble. But sometimes we will not take notice of it. The result will be, it will become stronger and stronger inside that habit. And then it becomes what is called samskaram. It becomes a samskaram at that stage. And if you continue with that samskaram for some period of time, it will become more powerful, and then it is called vasana. If it has become a vasana, that means it has got life. Then you cannot come out of it. The vasana has to work through the person. And vasana kshayam, or in other words, wiping out the vasana requires a huge endeavor. So therefore, if one can take notice of it when it is a chittavritti and escape from that, it is best. But at least when it becomes a samskaram, one should be careful about it. But once it has become a vasana, then there is no escape route. It has to act. It will act without your knowledge because it has become a vasana by then. That means when some favorable situation happens, this vasana will come out in some form or the other. So, this chittam, that's what we are talking about. Chittam is that place in the subtle body where all these vasanas are stored. Vasanas are stored in the chittam. So, mind, manasa, buddhi, intelligence, ahankaram, false ego, and chittam, where the vasanas are stored, all these four things together, they are called the subtle body. They are called the subtle body. So, that chittam is a chitta anubhava. What will happen is, through various the spiritual inquiry, when shravanam, when you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, if it is becoming an experience inside, this chittam will dry up. Chittam will dry up. It will help to dry up. Through the jnana margam, that's what it does. Provided the inquiry has to be very, very strong inside. That means only for very serious people this will happen. Vasana kshayam will come from that. So, because we have got this chittam inside, there is why we have getting a lot of thoughts all the time and conflicts coming. Conflicts also comes from that. It mentions, chitta mule vigalpoyam, chitta bhadena kaschana, adha chitta samahedi pragrube paramalpani. There is a verse like this. Thoughts are coming, and the verse is saying, sacrifice that thoughts in the soul. Sacrifice that thoughts in the soul. What does that mean? It means, when so many thought waves are coming, to ask the question, who is getting these thoughts? Who is having the thoughts? That's more important. What the thought is not important. Who is having the thoughts is more important. If you ask that question, then it will go back inwards and it will go back to the place where it's coming from. That's why it mentions here, Purvam, Bhashyam says, Purvam, Hridaya Pundarike Vashikritya Chittam, Tatha Urdhva Gaminyam Nadiya Bhumi Jayakramena Bruo Madhye Pranam Aveshyam Sthapayitva Samyak Apramataha San Sa Evam Buddhiman Yogi Kavim Puranam Ityadi Lakshanam Tam Purusham Upayadi Pratipadyade Divyam Duryodhanaatmakam. Let's understand this first. Purvam Hridaya Pundarike Vashikritya Chittam. What does that mean? Hridaya Pundarikam means that Hrita, what Krishna is talking about, isn't it? Krishna talks about a Hrita there. Remember we saw Jyotisham Avisat Jyoti, Hriti Sarvasya Vishtidam, he says, that Hrita. And the same thing what mentioned Sarvasya Jaham, Hriti Sanyavishtu, that Hrita. that place, it is understood that there is a Pundarikam, there is a lotus flower present there. Vashikritya Chittam. Chittam, when it goes back there, Chittam means our thought waves, if all the time it's going towards that place, to the Hrit, that is what, Purvam Hridaya Pundarike Vashikritya Chittam. That Chittam is pulled by that Hrit from inside. Tataha Urdhva Ghaminyam Nadhya Bhumi Jaya Kramena. In other words, when that is happening, this is the Jnana Margam now talking about. Remember yesterday we spoke about the Yoga Margam. In the Yoga Margam, they have this different Bhumika, Yoga Bhumika they are called. Which one? Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna. These are all the Bhumika. Bhumika means different steps. Different steps. So, there, Yoga Bhumika, you move from the lowest one to the next step. When you are grounded on that step, then you can leave that last step. You don't have to look back again. Similarly, every time you go up, you move from one step to another, to the top, to the Sahasrara. That is the Yoga Bhumika. The Jnana Bhumika is different. Jnana Bhumika starts in a different way because it's related to the thoughts, isn't it? All Jnana Vijayaram is all centered around the thoughts. So therefore, there the steps are Shubhecha, Tanumanasi, Asamsakti, Padartha Bhavana, like that it goes. There are steps mentioned there like that. And what happens in each step, that is discussed in the Jnanamargam literature. If you read, you will see there. They discuss that. In each step, what happens. So, here, Apram Adhya Pranam. So, here, he mentions like this, that Bruvor Madhya Pranam Avesha Samyak. So, all these things, whether you are a Jnani or whether you are a Yogi, doesn't matter. You have to practice it and cultivate it. Both practices, both processes. Whether Jnana Margam or Yoga Margam, these steps you have to get through every time. It is no use discussing about it very much because it is a question of practicing it. Whole thing is question of practicing it. So, those who cannot do it, any of these things, which all of us, easy to put it that way. It is not possible, I know that. It is not possible. None of us, we can talk about it, but coming to practice, it is not possible. So, Krishna is saying here, the next easiest process. What Krishna is going to say that? No. Because, even though it is like that, Krishna talks about the Yoga Margam here. Even though it is like that. So, he says, yogis give up their body in that way. How? Bruvor Madhye. Yoga Shastram calls it Kundalini Shakti, isn't it? Kundalini rises and comes here. That's a Yoga Margam. And when you say Kundalini Shakti, people will imagine in different ways. In different ways they will imagine. Those who have studied this Tantram, Kaulam and all that, they also understand this Yoga Margam very well. They will say that there is a snake lying down at the bottom of the spine, and the snake starts getting up and start going up. So, this is all imaginations, but it is all according to one's imagination. Yogis talk about it in different ways. But, actually, there is no other force inside us except the soul. Soul is the power behind everything. But when you talk about that through Yoga Margam, you mention Kundalini, Shakti and everything. Because yogis have got their own process, isn't it? In Jnana Margam, you will talk about it in another way. In Bhakti Margam, you will speak in a different way. But ultimately, whether it is Jnanam, Bhakti or Yogam, the only powerful force inside all of this is the soul present inside. Or in Jnana Margam, they will call it as Chit Shakti. Chit Swarupam or Chit Shakti. The Tandrikas or who are following the Tandrika Vidhi or Tantram, they call it as Kundalini Shakti. They call it as Kundalini Shakti. So that, and that Shakti, due to its impurity, it is present inside as the mind. It's the same thing that is present inside all of us as the mind in an impure form. Because mind is what? Mind does all the problems, isn't it? Creates all the problems. Everywhere Krishna is hitting on the mind all the time. Abhyasena cha kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Of what? Controlling the mind. He's talking about, isn't it? So this thing called mind is nothing but this impure form of that Kundalini Shakti or impure form of that Chit Shakti. The mind has come, that's why we say Chit Shakti and mind as together. Mind has come from Chit Shakti. Presently what we understand better than anything else is the mind. Kundalini and Chit Shakti is unknown entities for us at the moment. But what was mind, when we call the same Shakti, the same power, the yogis will call it as Kundalini, the jnanis will call it as Chit Shakti. But power is the same, of the soul, it's the same. But only thing is, when it is in an impure state, it's called the mind. It's called the mind. So whatever it may be, when that mind gets purified through bhakti or through atma vicharam, whichever, or yamam neyamam through the yoga process, it doesn't matter. Kundalini or Chit Shakti or Yoga Shakti, whatever it may be called, you can say it is that refined energy, very subtle of that Chit Shakti, very subtle, but that subtle refined energy it is when the mind is purified. What is mind? Mind is nothing but an energy inside, is it not? Mind is also an energy. It is nothing but that Chit Shakti inside. So every time when a thought comes, what happens? You waste some that energy. You waste your energy. This is why we say you have to bring down the thought waves inside. Because you are wasting your energy. Energy is lost in that. Suppose you are very absorbed in the thoughts, in various thoughts of this world, all the problems of this world, then what will happen? All your energy gets dissipated in that way. So, if that mind, that energy, every time a thought comes, a part of your energy is wasted in that way. So, and if that mind has got three states, you remember? We discussed that before. Kashayasthiti, Layasthiti, Vishamasthiti. Three states we called. Layasthiti is when the mind remains in a lame, dissolved state. You can see sometimes that's when it goes to sleep. Lame means sleep. Other state is Kashayasthiti. Kashayasthiti means you have no mood to do anything. You are bored completely and don't know what to do, in a sort of a depressed state. That is Kashayasthiti. Then we have got Vigalpam or Vishamasthiti, where thought waves are coming all the time, completely busy in thinking about all the problems of this world. Have you seen the mind outside these three states any time? Every time the mind does only these three things, if you very carefully observe, you will see this. Like you are sitting here and you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, and after a while the mind will try to capture it as best as it can. And when it cannot capture anything, what will it do? It goes to sleep. The word itself, manasa, is mayam. Mayam means to measure. Measuring is the nature of the mind. It wants to measure everything. It wants to get it in under its control. Brahmam, jiva, maya, all these things cannot be brought under the control of the mind. That's why when we talk about maya, jiva, brahmam and all that, you get good sleep straight away. For this reason only. Then because mind is not able to accommodate it in its capacity. It's not able to get control over it. So either it will go to sleep, or if you are not going to sleep, other thoughts will come and take over the mind. Vigalpam. That's called Vigalpam. Vigalpam means that instead of thinking about Bhagavad Gita, you may be sitting here, but your mind will be somewhere else. Thinking about the job tomorrow you have to do, or some commitment you have made to somebody, or some arrangements you are making, something else in your life, your mind will go somewhere else. So this is the problem with this mind. So all the three states are trouble. Layam is problem, Vigalpam is problem, Kashayam is also problem. All these things are problem. So, even if the mind gets dissolved, then also your energy will go. Your energy will go. If the thoughts come, then also your energy will go. So, the moment the thought comes, a part of your energy has gone that way. If you don't have any thoughts coming in, then you can remain very energetic. This is the secret behind it. If you do not allow thoughts to come inside and waste your energy, then you can remain very energetic. So, even if you don't do any sadhana, if you do not allow unnecessary topics to get inside, and unnecessary thoughts if you don't engage in, and if you can keep yourself in like that, you can be completely in a purnada, tripti, satisfied state, you can remain. It is possible. That is why great jnanis and yogis also, after a certain stage, they will not allow the mind to wander anymore, because they have got that finer control on the mind. You may ask the question, if you have to be like that, how do I live in this world? That will be the next question, isn't it? If you are not thinking, that is a good question, but at the same time, the problem is this, that some thoughts will definitely come, but very powerful thoughts should not come inside. That is the most important thing. Some thoughts have got different strength, isn't it? Smaller things doesn't matter, because it's impossible to remain in this world without any thoughts developing. But powerful thoughts, if it develops inside, that is dangerous. That is very dangerous. Because if you can look after that much, that itself is a big success. Big success. Because when there is a very forceful emotions inside, if they don't shoot up inside, that is a big success. That's a big success. So, the Kundalini Shakti, Kundalini Shakti, that is not explained in this very much in the Bhagavad Gita. That is left to Patanjali to explain in the Yoga Sutra. Krishna has not brought that into Bhagavad Gita so much. Only wanted to say that Patanjali's Yoga Sutra Krishna has taken into Bhagavad Gita to some extent. Kapila Maharshi's Sanghyam Krishna has taken into this. But ultimately it was given by Vedavyasa Maharshi. And Vedavyas is a personality who has given importance to Jnanam. Because Brahma Sutram is the Jnana Grandham, which Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled. So, wherever necessary, whatever that helps in the Yoga Margam or Yoga Margam or Sanghyam, Vedavyasa has brought that into Bhagavad Gita. So, you can see here also, as far as these verses are concerned, it is all touch and go, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, not into depth. So here, we say here, Bhumi Jaya Kramena mentions there that Samadhiya Samskaram Prajaya Janidam Chittasthaira Lakshanam. You will see here, Tada Urdhva Ghaminya Nadhya Bhumi Jaya Kramena. Bhumi Jaya means you are winning over each step and going up in that way. Now, those who are coming through this process, eventually there is no chance of them going down. They will go because they are already fixed in that path. And that is what Krishna calls it as Devayanam. You remember two processes, Devayanam and Pitriyanam. Ordinary people in this world, like all of us, we are all in the Pitriyanam. We are not in the Devayanam yet. We are still in the Pitriyanam. That means we will die. When we die, we will go to the Pitrulokam and they will decide our next body and we will come back here. That is our present state, unless any one of you had something higher realizations than that. But in normal circumstances, that's how we can put it like that. Krishna talked about two processes. Do you remember? Devayanam and Pitriyanam. The Devayanam process is those who have gone this step by step, they are going up. They are in that direction. They will go to the heavenly planets or go from there to the spiritual world finally. That means those who are extremely serious about spiritual life. Pitriyanam is for those who have like us lot, who have little bit of spiritual life here, little bit of material family life here, little bit of social life here, a mixed up of all these things, and thinking that everything Krishna will sort out at the end. Those who are living like that in this world, they go to the Pitriyanam. We are so surrendered, we are handed over all responsibility to Krishna. We are so good at it, passing the buck. That is Pitriyanam. Pitriyanam is those who are not serious about anything. We are not serious about material life also. That is the beautiful side of it. We are not serious about material life. We are not serious about spiritual life also. We just want to exist here and pass through this world somehow. Whatever next, who knows, we will say. This mood. That is Pitriyanam. It will lead to Pitriyanam. So, Devayanam, Pitriyanam, those two things have also come from this. So, Bhumi Jaya means that normally, ordinary people, this Kundalini Shakti in a person is there as in the form of the mind. Mind is that Kundalini Shakti. When do we call it as the mind? Mainly because when that mind is directed towards sense enjoyment, Bhoga Vishayam, when it wants to enjoy the senses, or it remains in that way, that means always, mind is looking for what? Happiness, isn't it? Through the senses. When it is kept like that, it is called mind. It's called the mind. That is when it is called mind. For example, when you see something nice to eat, you like to have it. This is all the nature of that mind. Or when you go and somebody said, oh, there is some nice movie has been released. Oh, let me go and see the movie. Oh, the Olympics is going on. I should be there to watch so many events, football match or whatever it is. So all the time, sense enjoyment. All the time, sense enjoyment. Which means unsteady mind. Mind is very disturbed all the time. And for that mind, you will notice it will get angry. It will get angry. It will get attachment. It will get aversion. And these are the ordinary people. Referring to the ordinary society. Majority is in that category of the people. In that way. So, we call them as, when we are in that state, the energy or this Kundalini Shakti or the energy is in the lowest step. Is in the lowest step. That's where the journey begins. The mind, when it is attached to sense gratification, which we are all, aren't we? Attached to some, a little bit of sense enjoyment we want in life. And therefore, that's why our spiritual life is limited to 1 or 2 hours. We are not able to do spiritual life 24 hours. Because when we start doing, it becomes a stressful spiritual life. Then we want a release from that. So then we make arrangements for entertainment and holidays and all other things. Why? We can't handle it because the spiritual life becomes very stressful. What can you do? So, that, why is that stressful? Because still, the vasana inside for sense enjoyment has not gone away. All of us, we have that sense enjoyment inside. So, as long as it is like that, we are at the lowest step. We are at the lowest step. And, that means that energy is in the lowest stage. That place is called, in the Yoga Margam, it is called Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, they will say like that, in the lower states, in the very, very lower states. So, we don't have to go into the details of the Yoga Margam now, because that's not what Krishna is discussing here. We'll go into that. So, in that state, what will happen? We will have all other emotions, powerful emotions, anger, lust, greed, envy, pride, competition. All these things will be there in us. And all of them together will operate, and that is called false ego. That's called ahankaram or false ego. So, and that powerful ego inside, if that gets reduced little by little, it won't go overnight. In one lot, it can't pull it out from inside. But little by little, if you practice in the spiritual life through knowledge, through bhakti, if and plus more than anything else, a lot of distress in life. When that happens, so normally you will see at that time that false ego accepts defeat. False ego accepts defeat. So at that time it gets refined. That mind gets refined and it will slowly start leaving that lower step and start going up. That's when it starts going up, Kundalini Shakti. In Yoga Margam they call it Kundalini Shakti. Here we call it as the mind which is in the most contaminated state at the lowest step. When it starts going up, it starts getting, means it is getting purified. It starts going up. This is what we call, in Bhakti language, we call it a spiritual advancement. It's the spiritual advancement. It's not how many number of years you are a devotee. That's not what it matters. I'm a senior devotee, so I am more better than you. That is not that spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is this, that the mind which had all these impurities, if through bhakti, sadhana, other processes, if you have purified that, that energy called the mind, it starts slowly going up, moves one step higher. And that is what it's mentioned here. From the lowest plane, it starts going to the top. So, actually the difficulty is that it is not very easy to wake up that mind to a higher plane. It won't get up easily like that. It won't very easily give up. So, imaginary, you can do something on an imaginary level, but they are not real. For example, sometimes you may think that due to some time, everyone has this, everybody, no matter who it is, due to the presence of the soul inside, suddenly he gives you some realizations for a very short period of time. At that time, you feel that you are making some progress in spiritual life. Mistakenly you think like that, but it is an imaginary thing. Sometimes people, devotees say like that, they say, oh Prabhu, I had some deep realizations, they say. That only lasted for 10 seconds on that particular day. If you ask him, oh you told me 2 days ago you had some realization, oh did I? They will ask him the same question. Did I tell you something like that? Yes, you told me that you had some realization. That realization has come and that's gone. That means it was not properly realized. It was just a thought wave that comes through. So, none of them is real. That's the main thing to understand. So, normally you can see, ordinary level, even in the material life, we get purified due to various circumstances in life. We get purified. Lot of distress comes in life, we get a certain purification inside, isn't it? So a little bit of purification. You have not done any sadhana. Just because of the distress you got purified. That happens to people. Suppose we get a lot of distress in life, our ego naturally gets a good cleaning inside. And then you start feeling that, oh, I've become a little pure today. Because of the distress I have experienced in that sense. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, in the Shruti Gita, this is spoken. If you look in the Bhagavatam, Shruti Gita, it mentions like that, Udaram Upasate. If you look into the verse 18 of the 87th chapter, chapter 87, verse 18. That is, Shruti Gita is, we are discussing Shruti Gita before, weren't we? So, there you have seen that the, that verse, Udaram Upasate, verse number 18. Udaram Upasate, Yah Rishi Varmasu Kurpa Drishaha Parisara Paddadim Hridayam Arunayo Dharam Tada Udagad Ananda Tava Dhamma Shira Paramam Punarihayat Sametya Na Patandi Krutanthamukhe. That is that verse. It's a very interesting verse. It says here, ఉదరం ఉపాసతే. లెట్స్ లుక్ అట్ దిస్ వే. ఉదరం ఉపాసతే మీన్స్ ఫార్ దోస్ పీపుల్ ఫార్ హోమ్ ద బెల్లీ ఈస్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ పార్ట్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ. దోస్ హూ కన్సిడర్ బెల్లీ యాజ్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ ఇన్ లైఫ్, దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ ఉదరం ఉపాసతే. దేర్ ఉపాసన ఈజ్ ఫార్ ద బెల్లీ. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ ఫార్ ద బెల్లీ. టు ఈ దే వాంట్ టు ఈట్ వెల్, ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ ఉదరం ఉపాసతే. సో దాట్స్ వర్డ్స్ ఇస్ ది 18th verse. We haven't reached there yet in the Shuddha Gita. We'll discuss that in the Christmas holidays. But now, if you understand this much is enough. Udaram upasade means those who perform upasana for udaram. Some people cannot eat because of sickness. That's another thing. They cannot perform udara upasana. But some people can eat very well. So they are those who are performing udara upasana. Udaravasana means as soon as they see some nice food somewhere, they would like to have it. Doesn't matter, it may be vegetarian or anything. That is not the criteria. But they are still Udaravasana. They may be, oh, I am eating only prasadam, so I should be alright. No, no, you are not alright still, because you are still Udaravasana. You are still in the level of the belly. Belly level, that is what they are. So, he says here, because those who are like that, their drishti, their vision will be very, very gross. Those who are like that, their vision will be very gross. Therefore, only thing for them is, they will have their three main meals a day, and there will be three or four snacking in between, going on. This is all udaram upasade it is, that category it is. And then they will say, also they will have their own justification also, why they have to do it that way. They're snacking, all the time snacking, drinking. Then they will be very busy, particularly about the three main meals also, after that. So they are udaram upasade, that category. It's called udaram upasade. They are in that state, first state, in the lowest state they are. Udaram upasade. Udaram is the most important thing for them in life. Udaram upasade. So, why it is spoken so strongly is, in the ordinary level, animals also, that is the most important thing. Have you seen animals? They are only looking for food. That's the only main concern in life, isn't it? Food. All the time, you feed them, they are happy. Everything else, they may get it or not, that doesn't matter. As long as they can eat, they are happy. So, all the time, their attention, animals' attention is on the food. Similarly, where will I get good food? In the same way, bhakshanam, bhogam, food, if all time it is focused on that, then that is udaram upasade. So, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, so, there, our urjam, urjam means the energy, is gets distributed through all these things. These different emotions, what happens is, our energy gets distributed through all of them. So, the person who is in that state, that means, who is udaram upasate, one who is taking care of his udaram, belly, and one who is subjected to lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, competition, all these kind of things, he is generally referred in the Shastram as a animal man. He is a man in the dress of an animal. His body in the dress of an animal. His appearance is practically he is an animal, but he has got the dress of a man. He has got the dress of a man. So, but that person, every one of us has gone through, going through it at the moment, or gone through it before, or is going to go through in that sometime or the other. It is all in everybody. We are talking. Shastram doesn't separate people out. It says over generally, this is the Shastric understanding, that when you get a lot of distress in life, a lot of distress in life, suffering from all sides, I don't have to explain because all of us have got enough in life, so it doesn't need to talk about it. Anything can happen. Our so-called smiling face will suddenly go away, one day disappear easily. And so due to that distress in life and due to satsangam, we become a little bit more conscious of others' difficulties. And then we become a little bit of nature to sacrifice for others. These things will come. Otherwise, it is a very selfish nature inside us, isn't it? We don't want to give anything to anybody. Everything wants to keep to myself, everything. So that thoughts comes, and when distress comes, and due to association with Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we start seeing a little higher things in life, then little bit of sacrificing nature develops within us, tyagam. It happens inside us. And little bit of tyagam, that brings up in a person a change. And that is what, that he comes over a little progress from his, that stubborn situation where he was in before, all centered around him, which is called Mooladharam. From there, he moves on to the next step, what is called a Swadhisthanam. Swadhisthanam. Swadhisthanam comes there. Swadhisthanam, if you have reached there, you can say that person is a balanced person. He is more balanced. That means his individual ego has been broken to some extent, and his sense selfishness has gone away from him to a quite a good degree. So that is means he has come to the Swadhisthanam stage. We are talking about Yoga Bhumika and also the Jnana Bhumika. They are not much different in many ways. What happens in a person in Jnana Bhumika is what we are talking about, but using the same terminology as in the Yoga Bhumika. They are not much different, I am saying. In Jnana Bhumika, this is how you measure that progress in a person. So, we will stop now. We will continue on Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.